the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. We have so much stuff to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. Huh, where do we begin? Where do we begin? I don't know. I mourn for so many things. I mourn for so many things in the world that we live in. I mourn for so many things. And I guess my question is when will people, when will, it's probably, no, it's too naive of a question. It's too naive of a question to ask the question, when will this government understand the cost of Iraq? It won't. This administration, this government will not understand that. Because there are reasons that are there reasons for being in it. Don't measure, don't factor in, are not concerned with the human cost of war. They're only looking at the economic benefit of it. And I hate to have to do this. It is problematic to have to begin the discussion with what is going on, but 58 people were killed in Baghdad over the weekend. 58 human beings. 58. And those are people that are no longer with us. We have to also examine those who are. 5 more GIs are charged in Iraq and the rape of that baby girl, that teenager, and the murder of her mama and daddy and her baby sister. 5 more GIs have been charged. Soldiers from the 101st Airborne Division. Oh, by the by, they all were still on active duty. My name is Liz Brown. You need to stay with me. We have much more to talk about. Hang on.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
Acting St. Louis's longest-running summer repertory theater will perform drama at Inish on Friday through Sunday, July 14th through the 16th, and July 28th through the 30th. Performances are being held at Fonfon University's Fine Arts Theater in Clayton. Tickets are $18 for adults and $15 for seniors and students. For reservations, call ACT Inc. at 314-725-9108 or visit their website at actinc.biz. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home.
Everything will be all right. He assures her, but she doesn't hear a word they say. Preoccupied, she's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. We have much. Much, much, to talk about. There is, I guess my concern is that we don't always acknowledge the impact of things upon us. And I think that we need to. Even though some of you out there may not be able to give chapter and verse to all of the issues, all of the concerns that are confronting us in Baghdad, in Iraq, as a result of this war, this occupation. But even though you cannot do that, I think that you all can acknowledge at least the general state of uneasiness that we find ourselves in. Things are afoot. Gasoline prices have reached that magical number of $3 for everything. The lousy sons of guns. And anecdotally, it appears that you don't see as many people on the road on the weekends. Anecdotally, it just feels that way. Anecdotally, it just kind of feels that way. People are not out and about the way that they used to be, the way that we're not out moving around and burning up gas the way that we used to. We're not. We can't. And granted, I believe that we do need to be more ecologically in tune with the planet. But the fact that it's on the terms of some greedy, soulless sons of guns that are in charge of the oil company don't make it right, and gives it an edge and gives me an attitude. And the fact that back in the 70s, when there were long lines around the gas stations, people weren't paying what they're paying for medicine. People didn't have as hard. In fact, the minimum wage was at the highest level when adjusted for inflation that it's ever been at, or that it's ever been. People didn't have all of these other expenses, extraordinary expenses. So I submit to you that the pain that we are feeling, the pain that we are experiencing with these $3 a gallon gas prices are unprecedented and contribute to the general state of unease. The general state of unease. And I look at the world that we live in and worry about all of us. I worry about ourselves. There is a factoid on the first page, on the cover page of USA Today. Our teenagers are starving themselves. 17% of girls and 7.6% of high school boys went without eating for more than 24 hours to lose weight or to keep from gaining weight in the 30 days before they were surveyed. We're not talking about boys or girls preparing for prom. This is just something that they do. Over 20% of our children, 25% of our children, are doing this to themselves. We have issues. We have issues. And how are we responding to them? 1-877-920-WGNU. When those soldiers decided to burn down the home to cover the crime of the murder of a teenager, murder rape of a teenager, her baby sister, and her parents. They drank alcohol. They abandoned their checkpoint. They changed their clothes to avoid detection. And they headed to her house about 200 yards from the military checkpoint. And I want you to understand that the baby sister of this woman, of this teenager, was 5 years old. I don't know. I guess the question when we look at, I think that I am as equally curious about what is going to be the response of America to this case as I am to what is going to be the response of the military when they prosecute this case. Because that's going to say who we are. And let me ask you this. This administration and far too many Americans have demonized the Iraqi people, have demonized Muslim people, have demonized the nation of or Islam, demonized all of that. I'm going to bring you an article in a few minutes about black preachers that have, from Florida, that stand next to Boy George's brother and denounce Muslims. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If they are the demons that many people believe instinctively they are, then explain to me why there haven't been beheadings all over Iraq after this unspeakable atrocity against their babies. Who the demon? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. Westbound 270 at Newhalls Ferry and 170, everything's running smoothly. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Marshall, that traffic is building. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for heavy volume going on already out in that area. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 to Canal Bridge, no problems there. Eastbound and westbound 44, 109, those traffic lanes have switched, so use caution as you roll up to those areas. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, expect normal traffic. Westbound 64 at 15th and 5570, look for heavy volume going on. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, there's congestion all the way into Laclede's Landing. Westbound East Bridge is moving steadily this hour. And westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations reducing it to three lanes, and that is a part of the backup on the east side at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock, plus save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot, taking care of business. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Today, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy by the afternoon, 50% chance of showers with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers with a low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 71 degrees at studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Fields reporting 73, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, my name is Henry Iwanafu. I'm running for state representative in the 71st District. On August 8, 2006, I need your support. Here's Major Harris to tell you the kind of person I am.
My name is Major Harris at Hair Commanders. As my clients came in the salon, I asked different ones about him. Some he had worked with, I think, as a teacher. They was telling me how he tried to help everyone. Then he worked, I think, as the welfare officer. So one lady had worked with him there. And they said that he always was trying to help someone. I would support him.
This ad was paid for citizens to elect Henry Iwanafu, state representative.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Curran Events, where we encourage discussions for both sides of an issue. That way we can learn from each other. That's Jim Curran, Curran Events, Monday nights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You want to know what you're going to get in me? Just a little touch of star quality. And if that food right goes too far,
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. The toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. Revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1 877-920-WGNU. My goodness. My goodness. There is a front page story on USA today. And it kind of speaks to where a lot of us are. Most people want to retire when they're around age 59. And the reality is that they don't. They don't. Richard, example, Richard Bracco, planned to work as a sales rep until age 65. It hasn't quite worked out that way. In January of 2005, his employer downsized and cut his position. And despite 27 years of sales experience, he couldn't find a job. Employers couldn't get college guys to work for less than what I wanted to work for. And so what kind of world are we living in? People end up retiring before they want to. He says that he couldn't afford to retire, so he used his 401k plan and home equity to buy a franchise. And he says that he's living off his savings until his business gets off the ground. Well, lucky for him. How many folks could afford to live off of their savings to do that? The stark reality is that most of today's middle-aged workers who want to continue working after 60 or even 65 will need to find a new source of income. While nearly half of baby boomers expect to work past 65, only 13% of current retirees actually worked until that age. 40% were forced to retire earlier. But here's the thing. It's one thing to be forced to retire, and it's another thing to have something to go into. What you going to do? And I can hear what's going on in the heads of some of you. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I just have to. I have to keep my head down and keep doing what I'm doing. Working past 60, 65 is often a pipe dream. Look at these. Listen to these stats. In 1980, 81% of men worked from age 55 to 59. In 1980, 65 and older, there were only 19% of men that worked 65 and older. You know what it is in the year 2005? 11%. We're living, so I guess the question becomes, we're living longer for what? For what? We're living longer for what? 44% of current retirees who retired earlier than planned blame job loss or downsizing. Unemployment was the most frequently cited reason for early retirement among retirees who have more than $250,000 in investment. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Businesses would say that older workers are more expensive. AARP says otherwise. A 2005 study conducted on behalf of AARP says that the additional cost of retaining workers 50 and older is modest, ranging from 0 to 3% a year. And those costs are lower than the cost of hiring and training new employees. But here's the thing. I believe that businesses say the reason that they don't want older employees is, you know, come on. Health care. How do you afford them? 1-877-920-WGNU. I checked the, what's the word I'm looking for? I checked, is this proper? Is this the right word? Guest list for a funeral? Is it a guest list? Probably not. There's probably another word out there in the English language that I'm not familiar with that applies to the list of people. But there was a private memorial for Ken Lay, who died last week, and thwarted apparently going to his grave a convicted anything. But I wonder if the amongst the guest list for the private ceremony was one of his boyfriends, guy friends, bestest buddy. I didn't see Boy George at the funeral. The private memorial, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. Bill.
A lot of companies have found that their healthcare costs, their high points of their healthcare costs are not treating the illnesses of older people and their spouses, but instead are treating the incredible, paying the incredible expenses of treating problems with newborns. And the companies can actually save a lot of money if they quit hiring young people that have babies, a few of whom cost an incredible amount of money because it's basically an open checkbook.
Well, where's the expense in that, Bill?
You have any idea how much neonatal intensive care costs?
And there's a lot of that.
The actual cost for several companies I'm aware of is much greater for young employees than for older, but it's almost entirely because of, for the young employees, it's not because the employees get sick, but because the care of their infant children is very expensive.
Huh. Okay. Well,
And believe me, companies cannot afford the political problems with their employees of chintzing on care for infants.
Mm.
I mean, employees will take it on the chin for themselves, but they will not settle. Let's not pay for all these tests for your 6-week-old daughter. I mean, it's just a completely unacceptable situation.
Then explain.
And I'm not even sure anybody wants to do it, but they couldn't get away with it.
Well, then explain to me why businesses are supposed to be smart, right? Everybody says we have to adopt, public sector needs to adopt business models. If that is true, I don't understand. Then it makes it even less sensical that there wouldn't be an effort to retain, go after, keep older employees. Or middle-aged employees. We're talking about people in their 50s and 60s.
Well, some companies, unlike the companies I'm familiar with from working, the last 10 years, have built-in cost structures that make older employees much more expensive in areas other than health costs. For instance, the defined benefit pension plan, which would be very nice to have if I had one, would make me much more expensive than a younger employee because I'm not too many years from retirement.
Gotcha. Work,
and they build the formula. Now, the companies did this themselves. The auto companies did this to themselves, agreeing with the union for the union benefits and giving their white-collar employees comparable benefits to the union employees. But there's a tremendous kick-up the difference in your current value of your pension when you hit 30 years for the auto companies, which I think is when full retirement vests, or age 55 with maybe 10 years of service, which is another time when full retirement vests, the kick-up might be $150,000 or $200,000. If they can get rid of the employee before that for a lot less money, which is what GM did recently in their buyout plan, they offered $70,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 to employees to leave, then they can avoid having to pump a couple of $100,000 into their pension plan to cover the bump up in their pension costs at these certain steps where the employee suddenly gets a much better benefit if he makes it to 30 years, or suddenly gets a much better benefit if he's still an active full-time employee at age 55.
Gotcha.
And those companies have done it to themselves. I will say that you say business is supposed to be smart. By comparison, businesses are a lot smarter than the government, and it's only now, because of accounting rules, that governments are starting to have to account for their pension plans and how severely underfunded their plans are. And I don't believe the government plans are actually backed by the Pension Benefits Guarantee Corporation.
Gotta go, Bill. Gotta go. My name is Liz Brown. It's a wake-up call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
A.
Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. The best pedicures and manicures in town. 12470 Old Halls Ferry Road. Call 355-2102. That's 355-2102. Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. You will love to come and hate to leave.
Don't forget, always check your decks.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
I stand there and listen to my life go by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith. But it
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we are going to be talking about North Korea missiles and the reality of missiles hitting us. Where are we on this issue? Are we being told the right thing? Are we being told the truth? We're going to be discussing that in the next hour. And I also want you to look forward to Friday of this week. For 2 hours, we're going to have a discussion. One of the perennial questions out here is, within the community of African descent and within the Democratic Party, the attitudes, the understandings of black, of self-described black Democrats. And we're going to take a look at this from a local issue. What is the relationship of black Democrats with the Missouri State Party? Where are we as a community? Where are African Americans as a community? How are they being treated by the Democratic Party? We are going to have a state senator on. We are going to have the chairman of the Black Caucus on. We are going to have black alder people on. We're going to have black committee people on. We're going to have a member of the Democratic Party, black person, on. To talk about this, does the Democratic Party take people of African descent for granted? Do you know that there are races out there in outstate Missouri where there are black candidates running? And the charge is that the Democratic Party put white people in to run against them. Huh? Not the Republicans? We need to talk about this. And for 2 hours, we're going to do that on Friday. Put it on your calendar. Keep the kids home from the swimming pool for a couple of hours, 7 to 9 on Friday. We're going to be looking black locally. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. You need to get to me. Nakia?
Hi, good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm outstanding.
Good. I wanted to remind folks from the Reggie Clemens campaign that tonight at 7 p.m. at the Reggie Clemens meeting, Attorney Matos is going to be present, a member of Reggie's legal defense. So just wanted to let people know to come out at 7 p.m. tonight for the Reggie Clemens campaign meeting at the Rowan Center.
7 tonight at the Rowan Center. Very good. Thank you, Nakia.
Okay, thanks, Liz. Keep up the good work.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. LIZZBrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. Just to backtrack a little bit, I'm really excited about that show on Friday. I'm really excited about the show. Is the Democratic Party taking black elected officials, black people, black Democrats for granted? It's going to be a heck of a show. It really is. There's a whole lot of information out there that you will be surprised to learn about. 1-877-920-WGNU. There's a story coming out of Florida, I guess. It shouldn't be a surprise. I believe that you are evaluated, judged by the company that you keep. That's just what I think. There's a black preacher out of Florida, a clergyman. This is a man that has had access to George W. Bush to advise him. He's a political appointee of Jeb Bush. And he went on radio airwaves. This is such an ugly story. He went on the airwaves, Reverend O'Neill Dozier. And this is a man who serves on Jeb Bush's committee that screens judicial nominees.
He said that the Islamic religion, in my view, is a cult. Huh? Huh? And I don't want to get... Why did he say that? Because he was on the program to talk about their efforts to block the Islamic Center of South Florida. They want to build a center in Northwest Pomona Beach. Is that right? Pomona Beach. They said that they don't want a Islamic center with a mosque in their neighborhood. They say it will jeopardize the community's safety because of what the religion's track record of terrorism. Now. And I think, in all fairness, when you look at the good Reverend Dozer, he would have to be pretty much out of touch with reality, given the what's the boy's name? What's the boy's name that wore the baggy pants in the 80s? The singer. Can't touch that. What's his name? Anyway, remember what his hair looked like? MC Hammer. Okay, with his MC Hammer looking hair, I guess one shouldn't be so surprised how deeply out of touch this good reverend is from the world that we live in. He, with other black ministers, are standing in opposition to a mosque being built because of the history, track record of terrorism. Now, these men would define themselves as Christians, right? Who blew up the Oklahoma City building? Christians, right? Self-proclaimed Christians. They said they did it on behalf of God. If you want to examine the terror, I don't think that there are very few Christian religions that you cannot go and find terrorism activities. Anybody say enslavement, terrorist act, brought over on the boat the Jesus, the Crusades, witch hunts. The Christian religion is replete with examples of terrorism. And yet this MC Hammer looking preacher is saying that he is protesting the building of a mosque. And by the by, folks, and this ties into what we're doing on Friday. By the by, this man is an advisor to George W. Bush. We are judged by the company that we keep. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back to talk about North Korea. Stay with me.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do
you listen? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's
splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. It was a stunning find on a computer that belongs to one of the men suspected in a plan to bomb the U.S. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
On Assem Hamoud's computer, Lebanese authorities say they found maps and bombing plans to attack commuter trains under the Hudson River. But U.S. intelligence sources say there's no evidence Hamoud and several accomplices plan to go ahead with the plot. One official told the L.A. Times there may have been less here than meets the eye. Hamoud visited California 6 years ago, but there are no known connections between that visit and the alleged plot. Counterterrorism officials said Hamoud considered setting a wildfire in California, but conceded that was most likely hyperbole. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
We could learn more today about additional soldiers charged in an attack on a young Iraqi female.
Five more men have been charged in the rape-murder case in Mahmoudiya in March of this year, in addition to Stephen Green, who was charged last week in the United States. Four of the five men are accused of involvement in the rape of the young woman and the murder of her and three relatives. The fifth is charged with dereliction of duty for not reporting the incident.
ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad. The defense in the trial of Saddam Hussein hears from the chief judge in the case today. Lawyers for the former Iraqi leader say they will boycott the trial until a series of demands are met. A third member of Saddam's legal team was killed last month. Two members of the Discovery crew are suiting up and preparing for this morning's spacewalk outside the International Space Station. They will install a cooling pump and replace an electrical and communications cable that was accidentally cut. It's needed to complete construction on the station.
Mother Nature really took its course.
Now, that Colorado resident says he feels very lucky today. He survived a major storm that swept through the southeastern part of the state last night. Witnesses say it was a tornado. They saw the funnel cloud. The National Weather Service says it'll check it out today. Strong storms also pounded parts of Wisconsin, leaving a lot of people without power. This is ABC News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic, or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the, I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain, dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
A missing, mischievous monkey is back where she belongs.
Oops is back safely in her cage.
I'd like to be a monkey.
She escaped from the Mill Mountain Zoo in Roanoke, Virginia, a week ago, getting out through an unlocked door during cage cleaning. Sunday afternoon, zoo officials got a call that the 20-pound Japanese macaque was in a nearby backyard. When they arrived at the house, Oops bolted. They chased her through the woods and into a tree, then shot her with a tranquilizer. Oops is okay, but she'll be quarantined for 30 days before being reunited with her family. Daniela Bellata, ABC News.
Coming to a supermarket near you, something Oops might like, the cucalope. It's a cross between a cantaloupe and a cucumber. It was a lucky accident for Karen Dusenberry. The Louisiana gardener planted rows of cantaloupes and rows of cucumbers. Somehow the two got together and they produced the hybrid. They have a yellow waxy skin like a cucumber and slightly sweet yellow flesh. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom. This report of WGNU News is brought to you by McDonald's. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Taking a look at the news, fireworks are blamed for a weekend house fire in University City. The fire, Saturday night, heavily damaged a home in the 8300 block of Braddock. The family in the home got out safely. Authorities believe it was started by neighborhood children playing with bottle rockets. In other news, Ameren UE customers could be seeing an increase in electric bills within the next year.
The electric company filed a request Friday for an increase in basic rates for electric service that was filed with the Missouri Public Service Commission. The filings include a proposed average increase of 17.7%, or $361 million. The proposal also includes limiting the increase on residential rates to 10%. A decision is expected no later than June of 2007. Gas prices in the St. Louis area are above the $3 mark in some places. Julie Neiman, an analyst with Smith Moore & Company, says if people want to see prices come down, they need to cut back on consumption. She says the problem is people are making cuts elsewhere instead so they can continue to afford to drive whenever and wherever they want. Neiman says the latest spike will last into the fall because there's such a heavy demand worldwide. And finally, medical professionals are applauding new legislation that requires health insurers to cover primary health care costs for cancer patients involved in approved Phase 2 clinical trials. Shirley Johnson, the director of oncology services at the Siteman Cancer Center, says these studies are the backbone to finding new therapies. Johnson says having insurance companies cover the medical costs associated with these trials will help make sure patients get the care they need. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by McDonald's. Just how thirsty are you? Quench your thirst without ever leaving the cool air conditioning of your car with a Yugo-sized drink at McDonald's for just 89 cents. McDonald's, I'm loving it. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. Eastbound 44 from Meraz Overpass, 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Marshall Road, slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from McKay to 79, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from New Florissant to 170, that traffic is building. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3 and the Canal Bridge, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 from 141 through 270, there's traffic congestion in pockets. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got traffic into the top of the ramp at this hour. And also westbound 64 between 25th and 5570, look for heavy volume. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is slow, and westbound Eadsbridge traffic, there's some delays going on into downtown. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock, plus save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus national brand. Office Depot, taking care of business. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy this afternoon, a chance for showers in the afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Help me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZBrown.com. Also, if you want to fax me, 314-454-6609. And don't forget, the shows are archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. Also, the show is iPodded at whiterosesociety.org. So if you have missed an hour, you can go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Get up. Get to me. We have much business to tend to, huh? Huh? Fourth of July, not too long ago. Some of you will remember Fourth of July for the great BBQ that you had over at your parents' house. Other folks will remember 4th of July for a different reason. The reason, or the day that North Korea flew bombs bursting in air. Headed towards Japan, so they say. And in response to that 4th of July act, we have had cries from the constitutionally pacifist Japanese talking about preemptive strikes and retaliation. We have heard commentators, elected officials, appointed officials, say that our country is at grave risk as a result of these missiles that have been fired, and that we all should be afraid, very afraid, about what has occurred, that this is a dangerous, provocative act that requires, at the very least, UN sanctions and world condemnation. We have heard words used like defiant to describe the actions of the North Korean government. And we have heard the phrases that the world stands in condemnation of these missile launchings. How significant are they? How important are they? How much danger are we in? Does it make sense? Are these actions on the part of North Korea, are they so dangerous, so provocative, that a pacifist country like Japan is right in talking about today preemptive strikes? It's an amazing world we live in, folks. We need to have this discussion, and we will. In just a moment, when we come back and have a conversation with our guest, the president of the Grace Policy Institute, Alice Slater, who is joining us from New York City. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Oh!
OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks. This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Around the world,
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning we're having a discussion about North Korea and missiles. Our guest is the president of the Grace Policy Institute, Alice Slater. She is joining us from New York. Alice, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine.
Very good. Alice, can you take us back to 4th of July? Do we know exactly what happened?
Well, we know that North Korea tested 7 missiles that flopped into the sea. They didn't have, they apparently were unarmed. They were doing tests. Now, we were doing tests on June 14th. The United States lobbed a missile from Vandenberg Air Force Base in Seattle all the way across to the Marshall Islands. They had 3 such tests. I mean, we're testing our missiles all the time. And right before North Korea tested, we had these army maneuvers in the Pacific with all these troops that came together to do this. They had 41 boats and 160 aircraft on the Pacific Rim exercise, the largest war game they played this year, with 7 other countries, Australia, Canada, Chile, Peru, Japan, and South Korea, and the UK. So we're in that area. We're very heavily militarized. We're testing our missiles all the time. Right after North Korea tested, Russia tested another missile, and I read recently that Taiwan is preparing a missile test. So the answer to North Korea is for everybody to get rid of their missiles. I mean, we can't walk around telling people we can do this and you can't, and then using that as an excuse to go to war. I mean, it's insane.
Well, you used 2 words, that, and I wanted to know if you have seen those words used in the discussion of the missile testing by North Korea. You used the words 7 missiles flopped and they were unarmed. How often did we see the word flopped, and how often did we see the word unarmed?
Well, if you read it carefully, they said that the tests were failures. They were testing their missiles. They
but that wasn't
flew
the
short of their. When I say flopped, they flew short of their target.
But my point is that the general characterization of these, that assessment was really kind of lost in the assessment of the danger of this.
Oh, it definitely is, and the assessment never puts it in the context of that every other country is testing missiles too. So why are we singling out North Korea? Of course, it's uncomfortable that North Korea took its nuclear power and walked and turned it into nuclear weapons, and maybe in another 5 or 10 years, they'll be able to stick a weapon on a missile and hit somebody, but we're not there yet, and there's a lot the world can do to make us safe without being hostile in that way. And the first thing would be to get a missile ban. Nobody should be testing missiles. I mean, the U.S. and Japan are beefing up their joint missile defense program. As a matter of fact, I heard you talking about the pacifist constitution in Japan. Article 9 of their constitution is the renunciation of war, and they can't have any aggressive forces, and it says that war can never be viewed as a solution. And the United States made Japan put that in
That's
their
right.
constitution after World War II. Well, now the Bush administration is pressuring them to get rid of it so that they can be full-fledged military allies of the U.S., and there's a tremendous grassroots movement in Japan now to keep that in their constitution.
And aren't they very concerned about their administration's relationship with the Bush administration? He sent troops over to Iraq.
That's right. It was like a first for Japan, and it's part of this U.S. empire. I mean, who ever thought of us as an empire? We were always, you know, like the good guys. We stopped Hitler after World War II. We formed the United Nations. Reforms of our own laws, I mean, even that we got rid of segregation in the United States and how we held up human rights. And now, what kind of an example are we giving to the world? I mean, with Abu Ghraib and people in Guantanamo for 3 years without even a phone call or a lawyer, I mean, this is like so un-American. There are terrible forces at work in this country today, and good people have to take back the country. The first thing we have to do is get rid of nuclear weapons, because that's the excuse that they're using for hostilities with Iraq, but now with North Korea, you know, they're trying to scare us about their nuclear weapons. Meanwhile, there's 27,000 nuclear weapons on the planet, and 26,000 of them are in the U.S. and Russia. And Russia has put an offer on the table for us to go to deep cuts, at which point, once we get down to, like, 1,000 each. We can bring all the nuclear weapon states to the table, including North Korea, and ban them all and the missiles that are designed to deliver them. So there are a lot of opportunities that our country is ignoring and that you're not reading about in the press. For example, every year at the UN for the last 5 years, China and Russia have been proposing that we keep weapons out of space. And every country in the world votes for this except the United States and Israel. So this is like a disaster because we're causing other people to get missiles that the missiles are like the first step to go into space. And if we're not willing to cut that off, then we're going to be in an arms race. And the whole thing, I think, is being driven by these military contractors. You know,
is there a benefit, Alice, in at least strategically for this administration to ratchet up concern about North Korea?
Well, you know, they have been ruling by fear ever since 9/11. You know, I'm a New Yorker, and I'll tell you what they're doing in terms of preventing new attacks is zero. I mean, missiles are not going to stop a terrorist from coming into America with a box cutter, you know, and holding up an airplane. Missiles and nuclear weapons are absolutely useless, and yet billions, we're spending $40 billion on our nuclear weapons program every year, $13 billion this year on our missiles, and they're not even inspecting the ships that are coming into New York Harbor, you know, which is how somebody can come in. So I think they are trying to rule by fear and using that as an excuse to increase the military budgets and pay off all these huge military contractors. There's really a military-industrial complex that President Eisenhower, who was a general, warned us about when he left office, and the American people do not have a handle on it. And our Congress is totally corrupted by money. I mean, so they're voting for all these military things, whether we need them or not, because they're getting huge public campaign donations. It's really, we're in a critical stage in America. I mean, people are really going to have to exercise their citizenship muscles, stop this missile stuff, the military spending, and demand that we start talking. I mean, that's the other thing about North Korea. We have not yet officially ended the Korean War from 1950. We have tens of thousands of troops stationed in South Korea on their border. We have huge military bases ringing them, and they keep wanting to talk to us, and we refuse to sit down and talk to them.
Well, George Bush has asked for, I believe, talks with North Korea, but are they different than the kinds of talks that North Korea wants?
Yeah, well, George Bush refuses to sit down face-to-face with North Korea. He will only talk to them with five other countries in the room. They call it the six-party talks. Russia, China, Japan are involved.
And North Korea says, no, face-to-face, we want to talk to you.
Yeah, well, they go to the six-party talks, but they keep saying they have things that they want to settle with us. You know, he's a dictator. I understand he's a brutal dictator, but we've talked to lots of brutal dictators over the year, you know, including Noriega and the Saudis. So I don't think just because he's a dictator and doesn't have a decent system of government, and we talk to China all the time. I mean, they're a totalitarian country.
No, we do more than talk to China.
I know.
We have an extraordinary, our economy is almost based upon what we do with China.
We're in debt with them. So really what I think what's influencing our policy is not like the good and the true and what makes sense and democracy and, you know, ending hunger in the planet. It's, you know, where they can sell the most stuff, and we have to really rein them in. You know, Reagan came in, he deregulated all the industry. I mean, Clinton just followed in his path. He really did improve it.
Back.
Matter of fact, here in New York, we're running a candidate in the primary against Hillary Clinton because she votes for the war, and she won't talk about ending the war in Iraq, and she's been giving military contracts, Star Wars contracts. I mean, there's like,
all right, and
we really have to get smart about who we want to support in government.
And we have to take a break, Alice, so stay with us. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking to Alice Slater, president of the Grace Policy Institute. That's Tassani, right?
What do you mean, Tassani?
That's the name of the candidate that's running against
Tassini, yes.
Tassini, yes.
Challenging Hillary.
That's right. He's been on the show.
Oh, great.
I'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Centrum. Eastbound 44 at Mraz Overpass and 270 looks good. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry. Look for slow traffic in pockets all the way through 44. Westbound 270 at New Florissant, 170 traffic congestion in the right lane. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley, you've got no problems there. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge all the way back through Route 3 is on the move. Eastbound 40 from Mason to 270, you've got congestion in pockets. Southbound 270 at 70 and 40, look for congestion there. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, slow at the top of that ramp as you merge to the bridge. Westbound 64 from 25th all the way in. Westbound Kingbridge traffic and westbound Eastbridge traffic, you can expect slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got the roadway reduced to three lanes due to paving operations and traffic is slowing near the exchange. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy by this afternoon. A chance of showers, a high in the mid-80s this evening. Mostly cloudy, another chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, with a chance of showers, high in the upper 80s, and Wednesday partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 72 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Those who have been there,
it's wonderful,
never forget.
It just takes your spirit to another level.
Women of Faith.
You know, we're hard to figure out because we don't even get ourselves.
2 days that could change your life.
So I have for you tonight the top 10 signs that you know you need hope. Number 10. You cut up someone's food without asking their permission.
Hear stirring testimony from Patsy Claremont, Marilyn Meeberg, Lucy Swindoll, Thelma Wells, and Sheila Walsh. Come for the fellowship. Stay through the laughter. Leave refreshed.
The price team they have up there is wonderful.
WomenOfFaith.com. Seats are going quickly, so call now. 1-888-49-FAITH. That's 1-888-49-FAITH.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Just like a well-built house needs a good design and plan, so do our lives. This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby.
Two life coaches. Please join us as we take your questions about designing your life. We'll discuss life planning, following through, and the obstacles that get in the way.
This is your weekly chance to get some answers you've been looking for. We hope you'll join us on The Design Life on WGNU every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
I hope you never lose yourself.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning, this hour, we are talking to the president of the Grace Policy Institute, Alice Slater. She's joining us from New York, and we're talking about North Korea's missiles and their missile launching on the 4th of July. Alice, welcome back.
Great.
We've had there are a number of people out there, a number of articles out there, a number of voices out there that have talked about the danger of North Korea launching these missiles. But there's been very little discussion about what North Korea's military capabilities are in terms of people saying, well, they've launched this, so we need to launch against them. North Korea is pretty stacked, aren't they?
Well, yes, they're totally militarized because basically we have thousands, tens of thousands of troops in South Korea since the Korean War. So there's been like a military standoff. And, of course, South Korea and China and Japan do not want us to preemptively attack North Korea because they're terrified of what war would spread to their own region if we were to be engaged in war with North Korea. And we now know that North Korea has nuclear weapons because we refused to talk to them and negotiate. They were willing to negotiate it away, and they walked out of the non-proliferation treaty and went and weaponized their nuclear power plants and turned out some bombs. So, like, it is a dangerous situation as long as we are constantly in this provocative, hostile confrontation. They want to settle it. They ask to speak to us. They want to settle our differences. And they want to be welcomed into the family of nations and be part of the trade regime and, you know, aid and trade and whatever, interchange, political interchange, and we refuse to talk to them.
What is the rationale behind Bill Clinton doing this, behind Ronald Reagan doing this, and behind George Bush doing this?
Well, Clinton tried. I mean, he was negotiating with North Korea. They worked out a deal where we were going to give them these light water reactors, which are not quite as capable of making nuclear weapons, although they can. I don't think it would have been a good solution, but we did that. We were going to have some trade and talks, and then as soon as Bush came into office, he pulled it off the table, and at that point, North Korea walked out of the non-proliferation treaty and started making its own nuclear weapons. So,
how would the United States, how could it work for the United States to reduce, to pull back from this nuclear arms race? How could we? How could
you
this
know,
country do
it's
that?
It's like so simple. There just was a report that came out from the Blitz Commission. He was the former weapons inspector for the International Atomic Energy Agency.
Hans Blitz.
After the first Gulf War, he certified that Iraq had no nuclear weapons. We all knew they had no nuclear weapons when Bush was lying about their mushroom cloud. Anyway, their new report came out and said that the only way to avoid these kinds of hostile, provocative situations is for every country in the world to get rid of their nuclear weapons. We've had them for 60 years since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That was the only time they were ever used. We're really pushing our luck, and there are offers on the table to the United States from Putin to negotiate deeper cuts because Russia and the United States have 26,000 weapons. The other countries all together have another 1,000. That's like England, France, China, India, Pakistan, Israel, and now North Korea. So if the U.S. and Russia would get down to like a decent number, like 1,000 each, then we could call everybody to the table. And China has been asking for this. Every year they put in a resolution saying, let's negotiate a treaty to eliminate nuclear weapons. The U.S. and Russia should first cut back, and then we'll all talk. So it's there. It's absolutely possible to have a missile ban treaty. I mean, you can't hide a missile launch. We knew that Korea was getting them ready. We knew they were going to launch. You know, they have these satellites in the sky that look at everything, and we can see this. And then the third thing that we have to do in order to really end all these kinds of difficulties is keep weapons out of space. Because if the U.S. keeps insisting that we're going to, and this is what our mission statement says, the United States Air Command, the Space Command says, U.S. Space Command dominating and controlling the military use of space to protect U.S. interests and investments. This is in their documents. Well, other countries are not going to give up their nuclear weapons if we think we're going to be up there in the heavens, you know, being able to bomb down on anyone on the planet. So we have to give up our martial posture. We have to. It's the only thing that will make us safe.
I understand we have to, but what's the reality of that?
The reality is that we have a government that's corrupted by big military contractors, and that it's going to take a lot of citizenship muscle, a lot of grassroots, a lot of getting involved in politics and finding out where your politicians stand and voting for people that are willing to bring this platform forward. I mean, there are some good people in Congress that are willing to do this. So we have to tell them. I mean, that's how democracy works. I think we forgot how democracy works in America. I remember like about a year ago in Ukraine, like a million people showed up in the plaza because there was a stolen election. More than a million, millions of people. And they changed the government just by petitioning, you know. So we have to do that. I mean,
and I guess
we did it in the 60s with the big marches for desegregation. I mean, we have to mobilize. We really do.
Well, I guess then this goes back to the types of stories that have been reported on what North Korea has done. There appears to be, at least at the time that we're living right now, since the media is so concentrated, there's more of a connected and concerted effort on the media to make certain that the only story that is told is a story that, my God, they've launched some missiles, they can reach Alaska, and we need to be very concerned about this.
That's how we got into the Iraq War. I mean, there were so many of us saying that Iraq couldn't possibly have nuclear weapons. It was certified. And they were cooking up all this, you know, unsupportable evidence and scaring America into war. That's why it's great that there are programs like yours and that we have the Internet where we can communicate with each other, and we cannot count on the mass media. They're following the party line.
So in terms of what an individual American can do, what would you advocate?
I would advocate joining something like Progressive Democrats of America, or, you know, getting a few neighbors and going and visiting your member of Congress. Just make a visit and say, hey, what are we doing about getting rid of nuclear weapons and a missile ban and keeping weapons out of space? Why is our country doing this? And then if they don't give you the right answer, run somebody against them. You know, I mean, we really have to take back the government because it's not representing us. You know, how could we live in America with 3 years people are in Guantanamo. How can we be American and tolerate this? I mean, it's almost like the good Germans that let the Nazis do things. I just think we really have to, I know we are all busy and we have our personal lives, but at least pick up a phone and call your member of Congress or get a couple of neighbors to get together, because Congress is where you can balance off the power of the executive. You know?
And let me on a totally unrelated or kind of related topic, how is it going in New York with opposition to Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think it's great. We have a big signature drive. We have to get 15,000 signatures on petitions to get our candidate on the ballot, Jonathan Tessini. And of course, that means we have to get at least 30,000, because then they challenge if somebody doesn't, you know, dot the I and cross the T, they throw out the petition. So
and when is that petition due?
It's very soon. It'll be like July 11th. It's July 15th, but we have to file them all by the 11th. So we have a lot of people out on the streets getting signatures.
Well, I'm encouraged by what's happening in Connecticut with Joe Lieberman.
That's fabulous.
It really, and also the other issue of Joe Lieberman. I'm certain that you know that Joe Lieberman has said, well, if I lose, I'm going to run as an independent.
Right. It just goes to show you that counting on the Democratic Party, that's not it. We have to look very carefully at what these people stand for, you know.
And, Alice, we have 1 minute left. Tell us about the Grace Policy Institute.
Well, we're part of the Global Resource Action Center for the Environment. We're a new division, and Grace is 9 years old, and our division is working to ensure a sustainable energy future. I recommend that you all go see the movie Who Killed the Electric Car, because they have cars that were running on batteries with no pollution, no asthma in highly, you know, toxic urban centers. In L.A., it was happening in California, and they literally took them off the market. This is like within the last 5 years, and destroyed every single car.
One of the scenes in that movie is an amazing scene where these brand new cars are being put into dumps.
Right, and shredded.
Shredded.
And the people who had them loved them, and they wouldn't let them keep them. Like, they were leased, and they had this long waiting list, and General Motors kept saying, well, there's no demand, but meanwhile, they show you the salespeople and couldn't meet all the people that wanted a car where you just plug it into the socket in your garage and go out and drive it to work, you know. So
who killed the electric car?
Right. So that's part of our work, is to get people to understand we do not need oil, nuclear power, clean coal. Now they got ethanol, like all the big industrial farmers. They're going to grow corn to burn it when we can use the sun and the wind and the tide.
Mm. Alice Slater, that has to be our last word.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us on the wake-up call this morning.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Wake-up call. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
Joe Palm, candidate for state representative in the 57th district. I will support legislation to improve the educational experience for children in our community. I will work for improved access to health care for all citizens. I support a police citizen review board and a community approach to crime prevention. When you vote on August 8th, punch 29. The future of our community is in your hands. Visit JoePalm.com and learn more.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Lethea Owens with a Motivational Moment. I'd like to encourage you to find out who you are and be it on purpose without apology. I believe that there is great power and influence when we know who we are. When we understand the gifts and talents that we possess, we're able to make a strong and powerful impact on the world around us. So please join me on Mondays from 1 to 2 for Motivational Mondays, where your dreams become reality on AM 920 WGNU.
This is George Cotton.
And this is Syl Wilson.
We're your co-hosts for The Real Deal with George and Syl.
Every Tuesday night from 8 to 10 p.m.
Tune us in for thought-provoking and challenging conversation.
That's right. Count on informative dialogue, guaranteed controversy between George and even a little humor.
That's right. The Real Deal with George and Syl. Every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 o'clock p.m. Tune us in. Spread the word, and we guarantee you'll love the show. See you then.
Global news updates will return at the same time next week.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9, when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that on Saturday, the Urban Institute meets at 1020 North Taylor. I am so excited about what's happening at the Urban Institute. The people that are coming up week after week after week, the changes that we are working on, the future. It is, I am very excited about what we are doing at the Urban Institute. Irene J. Smith, myself, and us, all of us, that attend. It's remarkable. It really is. It's very exciting. So join us on Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor. That's the Urban Institute. Be there Saturday from 9 to 11. It is up. It is so exciting. And connected to that, we live in a very, very... let's just say we live in a political world and in political times. And this election, this upcoming election on August 8th, the upcoming election in November with the election of our senators and other ballot issues out there and state elected officials, these are very political times. And I must say that I have been talking to a number of elected officials out here. And folks aren't happy. Folks are not happy with what is happening within our party. Let me throw something out there for you for discussion. Talk amongst yourself, if you will. This voter ID bill that has been that's been passed. One of the components of this voter ID bill is the component of the elimination of straight party voting. Remember, you could walk into the voting booth and just punch one number and you voted for all of the Democratic candidates. Or you punch one number, you voted for all the Republican candidates. This is something that has helped the Democratic Party out enormously. Enormously. But that's no longer true. It's been eliminated. What's the impact of that? Well, for the Democratic Party, they should be very concerned. But for people that are members of the Democratic Party, as well as people of African descent, I believe we need to look at that as an opportunity. People are actually going to have to punch the button of the Secretary of State. They're actually going to have to mark in the little mark for the auditor. And if they don't know you, they're not going to mark the mark. Or if they aren't impressed by you, they may mark the mark of the other guy or gal that's running for the spot. This means that there has to be much, much more attention and courting and money spent within the community of African descent. Because ain't no more, technically speaking, ain't no more straight party ticket. Those are legal words. Ain't no more. And so that changes the dynamics. That changes the equation. That changes stuff. Huh. We're going to be talking about that. And the question I have to you, all of you, you elected officials that are listening, or all of you that have access to your elected officials, your committee men, your committee women, ask yourself this question, because we're going to be talking about this on Friday at 7 a.m. Does the Democratic Party take the community of African descent for granted? Ask yourself, why should a committee man put on their ballot this summer for the August election? Why should they put on automatically the names of these Democrats out here that are running for state office if the community hasn't seen any of them? I think that's fair. It's a relationship, y'all. Politics is a relationship. I ain't married to any of y'all. I date a few of you. And if you don't do right, I don't date you anymore. I kick you to the curb and go look at somebody else. That's how we should view our relationship. This ain't marriage. We dating. And if in the dating world, in the relationship world, if you have been given no attention from somebody that you feel that you are committed to, what do? Do you keep giving them attention? Or do you change the dynamics of the relationship? Healthy folks change the dynamics of the relationship because they realize that is what you do. We have state candidates that want to be on the ballots for the election come August 8th. And they haven't shown their little head anywhere up here or anyplace else. Do they get a free ride? That's the question. That's the issue. That's the concern. Those are the discussions that we need to have. I don't think folks should give stuff away for free. Do you? Do you give stuff away for free in a relationship? If you do, you're not in a healthy one. You're not in a healthy one. If you give stuff away for free and you don't get anything in return, let me make that clear. If you give stuff away for free and you don't get anything in return, you're not in a healthy relationship. You are in a dysfunctional one. And the wake-up call, Liz Brown is here to help you out of your dysfunction. We're going to have a show on Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. to talk about this relationship of people of African descent in the Democratic Party, particularly in the state of Missouri. And a number of elected officials are going to join us to have that discussion. We will have the chairman of the Black Caucus, John Bowman, will be joining us. State Senator Maida Coleman will be joining us. Alderman Charles Quincy Troop will be joining us. Also, State Representative and Committeewoman Connie Johnson will be joining us as well. And others. We're not done. The list is not complete yet. But this is an historic gathering. And you need to tune us in. Turn the tape recorders on. Don't hit the set the clock early from 7 to 9 on Monday. This is a big deal. And it's a conversation that is a long time in coming. This is election season. We must be attentive to our issues, attentive to our candidates, attentive to our community, attentive to our needs, and just all around attentive. And once it catches our attention, we must then act. Because there are things that there are actions being taken against our interests even as we sit here. What we going to do about it? We're going to participate in the political process. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. Things are just so connected on the wake-up call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking to a candidate who wants to be a state rep. We're going to be talking to him about his plan, his blueprint, his background, a reason why he should be elected. You don't want to miss that because he's running against an incumbent. Stay with us. We'll be talking about that.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it out
pull it all the way out. That's not progress. Progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. A Chechen warlord believed to be behind some of the worst attacks in modern Russia is reportedly dead.
Jamil Basayev is to Russia what Bin Laden or Zarqawi is to the U.S. According to the head of Russia's Federal Security Service, the Chechen rebel leader was killed overnight. The Russians say Basayev had been planning to put pressure on the government during the G8 meeting, which is being hosted by the Russians later this week. President Putin has called the death of the man believed to be behind the Beslan school massacre and others deserved retribution. So far, there's no independent confirmation, but the Russians are promising photos proving that their most wanted criminal is really dead.
ABC's Linda Alvin in London. The first major insurance lawsuit from Hurricane Katrina gets underway today, and a lot of people will be watching it. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
After Hurricane Katrina destroyed his house in Pascagoula, Mississippi, Paul Leonard thought his insurance company would cover it. But Nationwide Mutual Insurance denied his claim because it said water, not wind, caused the damage, and its homeowners' policies do not cover damage from floodwater. The plaintiff argues he was told there was no need for separate flood insurance because his policy would cover all hurricane damage. There are several thousand similar lawsuits now pending on the Gulf Coast. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
We should learn more today about the latest arrests in an alleged attack on a young Iraqi female. Five more soldiers charged, four accused of rape and murder, the fifth with not reporting it. One has already come forward.
The alleged shooter, Stephen Green, then a private in the 101st Airborne Division, was charged last week with raping the teenage girl and shooting her and three relatives with an AK-47. According to Green's affidavit, the men had planned the attack ahead of time. They'd been drinking, and some had changed out of uniform to hide their identities, and afterwards tried to burn the bodies to hide the evidence.
ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad. Two Discovery astronauts on a spacewalk, the second one of the mission. They're fixing a cooling pump and an electrical and communications cable on the International Space Station. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a three-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
Mommy sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
When someone goes missing, there is only one team to turn to.
When was the last time you saw him?
The Missing Persons Unit.
Nobody's seen her in 3 days.
Without a trace, now, every weeknight on TNT. Before they can find out where they are, they have to find out who they are.
Does she have any enemies?
From executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Where is she?
Without a trace, tonight, 7, 6 Central on TNT. See why the original is still the best. Don't miss Law & Order at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
Imagine the Super Bowl or the World Series to the nth degree. Well, now you have an idea of what Italian soccer fans are feeling today.
It came down to a tense penalty kick shootout. Fabio Grosso has the World Cup on his foot. He makes it! Italy, World Cup champions 2006!
Dave O'Brien on ABC TV, the call of the last of the kicks as Italy outlasted France through a double overtime deadlock and won the match and the championship 5-3 on penalty kicks. The game was marred when French star Zinedine Zidane was ejected after headbutting Italy's Marco Materazzi. Italy has won the cup for the fourth time. John Glossy, ABC News, New York.
Michael Spillin's given $31,000 to Crime Stoppers. Now, that's generous, but not altogether unusual for a business owner. He and his wife own a loan company. What is unique? Spillin's in an Ohio prison doing 4 years for planting a bomb on his front porch and trying to frame his son-in-law. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
This WGNU News report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. I'm Peyton Colston. Taking a look at the news, police are investigating the death of a child in South St. Louis. The 3-year-old boy died yesterday at his home in the 3300 block of Chippewa. Police say the boy had no bruises or other signs of abuse, and he did not have any apparent medical problems. Autopsy results could come as soon as today, according to authorities. Elsewhere, many back-to-school shoppers in Missouri will be getting a tax break in the beginning of August. This is the third year in a row for a state sales tax holiday that offers at least a 4.225% discount on various items. From August 4th through 6th, items such as clothing, school supplies, computers, and software will be exempt from the state sales tax. Some cities and counties are suspending their local sales taxes that weekend as well. Log on to www.dor.mo.gov to find locations not participating in the holiday and the limits on the items that are discounted. Finally, this hour, the Humane Society of Missouri is trying to help curb cat overpopulation. Cindy Nason, the director of adoption centers at the Humane Society, says as part of Kitten Overpopulation Month, people can adopt a cat at half price with the purchase of another cat. Nason says they're also trying to educate people about spaying and neutering their cats. The Humane Society has a low-cost spay and neuter program called SNIP, S-N-I-P. And that's WGNU News for this hour. This report has been brought to you by Sonic. Not just good, it's Sonic good. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. I'm Peyton Colston with a report of WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour at 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Shell. Southbound 55 between McNutt and Route A, there's the right lane's blocked due to an accident, and there's slight delays as vehicles are passing the accident scene at this hour. Eastbound Page at 270, all roadways are reopened after an earlier stalled vehicle. Northbound 270 at Testown Ferry and 44, slow traffic in pockets. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Florissant. Look for congestion problems going on there as well. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays basically due to the fact that they have paving operations still up for the westbound lanes, and only three lanes are open, so you can expect delays on the East Bridge, on the King Bridge, and all your approaches into the bridge at this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Shell. At Shell, their gasolines not only surpass government standards, they meet all top automakers' highest standards. Whether you own or lease your car, keep it running smooth. Shell, made to move. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly sunny skies this morning, mostly cloudy this afternoon, and chance of showers. High in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers. Low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy once again, a chance of showers. High in the upper 80s. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74 as well, both under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
This portion of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the citizens to elect Henry E. Winifu, Adrian Schaefer, treasurer.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome. This is Liz Brown, and this half an hour we are going to be talking to a candidate for the 71st District, Henry Iwenifu. And welcome, Henry.
Thank you.
How are you?
Very well.
Very good. We have a lot of needs in our community. We have a lot of needs here in the city of St. Louis, and there are also a lot of needs in the county of St. Louis. Right now, the seat that you're running for is occupied by Esther Haywood.
That's correct.
She has been there for several years.
Yes.
And so my question to you is, since we have someone that has been there for the number of years that she's been there, why are you running for this seat?
Well, I'm just a new kid on the block, and I'm running because the people in Normandy and Belknap, Pasadena Hills, Velda Village, Hillsdale, Hanley Hill, Pine Lawn, Shylock, Bell Ridge, some portion of St. John, and Cool Valley haven't seen any blessing that we always hear about. God bless America.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I looked, everywhere I named is America. We haven't had economic development in the last almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have, the school district is falling apart. There's no jobs. The hospital was closed while my opponent was in office. So the reason why I'm running is to have a representative that will go out to Jefferson City and get a piece of our pie and bring it back to our neighborhood. So I've had, you asked me why would I challenge an incumbent. I don't know what the incumbent has done in the last who knows how long. And so if we have representatives that go to Jefferson City to represent us and not bringing anything back in our place, it's time to hold them accountable.
So what gives you the skill or the ability to go into Jefferson City. Right now, the Republicans are in the majority. They're in the majority in both the Senate and in the House. This is a new position for a Democrat because you are running as a Democrat. What makes you think that you can go in and do something in those types of circumstances where we're not in the majority and do something different than the person that has been there before?
Well, that was the same question that was posed to David when he had to deal with Goliath. And they said, let's see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's leadership. It is not the political ID or the party in power. It is the ability to find ways, solutions for the same problems that people have had in a long time. People find ways to do things. I've worked at, when I started my own business, I was told that, it's not going to work, it's not possible. I went downtown, spent $59, and formed One World Incorporated. Within a few months after I did it, I was able to do a festival, a business venture with the University of Missouri in 1999. So I find ways, solutions to do things rather than sit around and say, well, we're not empowered, therefore we should. If that's the case, we shouldn't have a representative in Jefferson City. If the Republicans are running the show, then we all should sit back at home. But I think that I can find ways to work with both the Republicans and the Democrats to deal with the issues that affect my community.
Okay, let me give you an example. Civilian Review Board.
Civilian Review Board.
What would you do in Jefferson City to bring that back to this region? What would you do?
Well, my suggestion to this is an issue that is really very crucial in St. Louis area. Because
and in Kansas City.
And in Kansas City. I think it's important to have oversight. And as a legislature, I'll be supportive in trying to make sure to organize the other party members and the other opposing party, which may be the Republican Party, to talk about the issues, the importance of having accountability in our society. Society without accountability creates chaos. So I will be very instrumental in showing them the relevance of having to have a review board. And the importance of having people who are going to check what other people are doing, because if we don't, we end up in litigation, we end up people getting injured, we end up on all kinds of things that will necessarily have to deal with if we do the right thing initially.
We have to take a break right now. We are talking to a candidate for state representative for the 71st District, Henry Iwenafu.
Iwenafu.
Iwenafu. And we will be back. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Does your life need to be energized? Are you in need of some direction and clarity? Is your stuff dragging you down?
Tune into Sort It Out with Lori and Claire, Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. We'll help you find the courage to make a change in your life.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. Affordable Eye Care, $69.75 Olive in University City. Do you need the latest in eyeglasses? How about an eye exam? You get it all at Affordable Eye Care. That's $69.75 Olive. Call for an exam, 721-2698. Don't forget, always check your decks.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Shall get them that's not shall lose.
This hour's segment of the Wake Up Call is sponsored by the citizens to elect Henry E. Winifue, Adrian Schaefer, treasurer.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This morning we are interviewing a candidate for the 71st district here in the state of Missouri, Henry Winifue. And Henry, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell us about your qualifications. What do you bring to the table?
Well, I, like most people say, I'm not a politician. I'm just a guy who's sick and tired and of voting for folks that come and get our votes every election and never do anything. So, being someone who's been running businesses and managing operations, so I know how to do certain things. I was a supervisor for General Motors and a regional manager for industrial transport. That's what brought me to St. Louis. I also had run my own company, like I said, which is One World. I am the father of two daughters, so I think that's a lot of work in itself. Work with young people with the St. Louis Housing Authority Youth Build Operation, at-risk young people, and most of them are paying taxes now, taking care of their family as opposed to being in trouble. I work with Michigan Department of Correction. I spent 6 years working in maximum security prison, seeing what the results of people's action, where they end up, and what society need to do to turn around those 80% of the prison population who are going to be coming back home. They're not going to sit there forever. So I've had a variety of experience in terms of how I can shape policies when I get there. I also have a degree in public policy, so I have an idea what needs to be done, or at least the vision that I think that we should go, rather than the vision we've been going in, my, especially in my district, in the last 30 years. I don't know anybody that knows where I'm talking about, but if you look at the Natural Bridge corridor, ain't nothing changed over there but the weather, you know. So, and I don't think that the people in my district are happy with the fact that the school district is falling apart. The medium income in 63121, it's about $18,000, less than the state average, less than the national average. Like I said earlier, people there need better than what they have. They need to get a piece of our society. And 80% of the people that live there are African Americans. And the school district has 97.9% of the student board, for example, in Normandy is African American, and the school is failing. So how are we going to prepare these kids for tomorrow?
What is your position on vouchers? What is your position on charter schools? And what is your position on, what is your blueprint for the educational needs of the children of your district?
The first question is my position on charter
and vouchers.
I don't support it. So I'm more interested in fixing the public school district, you know, fixing the public school.
So what is your blueprint?
My print is very simple. When I talk about education, I talk about myself. And I try to tell someone a story. It's not money that makes students learn. It's not the building. I went to school after we had a civil war. As a matter of fact, I came from Africa about 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. And after the Civil War, we went to a school under a shade. Whatever we found, that was our classroom. And I was able to come here, go to school, compete with the other students that had air conditioners and libraries and did well. Not because I was smarter than they were. It was just that someone paid attention to me.
But therein lies the difference between sitting on a hilltop in Nigeria with under a tree being taught. You were being taught by people that saw themselves in you. You were being taught by people that understood that you individually needed this. That's not the case when we have, when here in America, oftentimes with people of African descent and those that educate them. So the challenge is different. It does make a difference in this country.
I don't think it's different. It's still this. You still have children mm-hmm. with parents. I used to be a teacher in St. Louis Public School. I did that for 4 years. You still have people. People have to take interest in the children. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying. The point I was trying to make. It is not the money. It is not the environment. It's still the children. I've never met children who are difficult to deal with. I've met parents who are difficult to deal with. Parents, teachers, and the school administrators should be the integral part of my program. We can get parents involved in their children.
What's the plan?
The plan is the same way Madison Avenue gets them to buy Nike and buy all the other stuff. We have to find a way to reach them, just the same way I reached my students when I was teaching. Mm-hmm. I have to find a medium that they understand and use that to get them. One good example is a parent center. We have young people. Young people have always had children all throughout human history, but the economy has changed. Now young people need to get certain skills to be able to acquire the income they need to survive. So we as a society, we as a group of people, Dr. Du Bois talks about the talented 10. I don't tend to think of myself as the most talented person, but I tend to think that if you have any skills, if you're an accountant, if you're a lawyer, use some of those skills to help the people that don't have them. And that's what we need to do as a community. As a leader, I'll be trying to get people in all walks of life involved in children issues and matters.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of the your position, what you just said about it's not about the money, it's not about the school building. What is your plan with the funding of the schools? Would you change anything that's happening right now with the funding of the schools?
Well, I'll try to find alternative funding because of the area that I live in. We have to deal with the reality on the ground. The reality on the ground is that real estate is tied to school funding. And in my area, because of how the majority or except for a portion of my area, the real estate is doing very well. But in my area, due to lack of economic development, due to neglect from the present and previous leadership, the financing for that school district is not what it should be. That said and done, Edwardsville spends less than we spend in my school district and still gets result. My objective is to get parents and teachers involved. I will support teachers. I will spend time trying to get teachers, parents, and school administrators to find resolve for students. And it will be uncalled for to have school administrators making, I listened to your show last week, you were talking about a school administrator making $300,000, and you can't find a pencil in the classroom. So, why are we paying you that amount of money to educate kids if they're not being educated? So those are the issues that we have to look at and find some solution. And I'm not going to – you have school administrators who are trying to do their best. You have teachers who are doing their best. And I'll do the best to have a tax credit for teachers who spend their hard-earned money to try to educate the kids. Because I was once a teacher, so I understand – what is needed in the classroom.
And let me stop you just for a second because we have about two more minutes before we end this break. Esther Haywood introduced two bills last session in the 93rd General Assembly. Basically one bill. It was sponsored one bill, the Rosa Parks Day. And she sponsored a few other bills. What is your commitment to, if elected, to the number of bills that you would sponsor during your term?
Well, when I get there, it's premature to talk about the number of bills that I'm going to be sponsoring.
You don't have any in your mind?
I have some in my mind, but I really want to thank Esther for sponsoring the Rosa Park Day. I used to live in Detroit. I met Rosa Park.
It's two bills, Henry. We're talking about.
I'm going to talk about the other one.
I'm just saying two things that she has introduced in 1 year as a sole sponsor.
Okay. What I thought it was only one when I lived.
It's one
on Rosa Parks Day. So basically, it's one bill. So my question to you is, if you have bills in mind that you plan on introducing, what's your commitment to your community of the bills that you would sponsor once you get there?
I will tell you, I will give you specific answers on the bills that I have interest in sponsoring. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to go back and answer your question with regards to because I really appreciate the fact that we have that Rosa Parks Day. But the problem that I have is if after 6 years in the House, that we're only talking about a holiday when if I don't have a job, you know, I enjoy the fact that we do have a holiday. But that's not the only thing that the legislature should be working on doing. It is good to have a holiday, but if you don't have barbecue to go in the pit on the day of the holiday because you don't have a job, it's difficult.
Okay,
we need to start focusing on economic development in our community, empowering our people so that they can
What bills do you have in mind to sponsor? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back. I'm talking to Henry Iwanifu, Democrat, 71st District. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Air National Guard. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, there's an accident, and traffic is slowing near the T.R. Hughes intersection this hour. Westbound 40 at Big Bend, that accident's been cleared. Eastbound 40 in Mraz overpass and 270, expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant, look for slow traffic there as well. Southbound 270 at 70 and 40, there's congestion going on there. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. All your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow at this hour, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Air National Guard. Guarding America and defending freedom, that's what the Air National Guard is all about. Don't just sit there on the sidelines. Join the Air National Guard. Find out more by going to goang.com. That's goang.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. Partly sunny this morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, chance of afternoon showers, high in the mid-80s. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, pretty much the same, cloudy, showers possible with a high in the upper 80s. And on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high in the lower 90s. Currently, we have 77 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Iwanifu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Iwanifu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Iwanifu.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents a preschool art workshop on Wednesday, July 19th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Cost is $8 to $10 for each child aged 3 to 4. All materials are provided. Pre-registration is required. Register by mail, in person, online at slam.org, or by calling 314-655-5298. News for the kids from Radio Free St. Louis.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook, every Monday at noon.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hello,
I'm Joe Palm, candidate for state representative in the 57th District. I will support legislation to improve the educational experience for children in our community. I will work for improved access to health care for all citizens. I support a police citizen review board and a community approach to crime prevention. When you vote on August 8th, punch 29. The future of our community is in your hands. Visit JoePalm.com and learn more.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the wake-up call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This portion of the wake-up call is sponsored by the citizens to elect Henry E. Iwinifu, Adrian Schaefer, Treasurer.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This morning we're talking politics with a candidate for the 71st District here in the state of Missouri, Democrat Henry Iwinifu. And Henry, on the way out, I had asked you about... We've been meeting, just to give you a little backdrop, citizens have been meeting for a number of weeks at with Irene J. Smith and myself at the Urban Institute. And one of the conversations, the main conversation that we've been having is, how do we evaluate candidates that want to run for office and candidates that are challenging the incumbents? What do we ask of them? And one of the general consensus is that we would like candidates to make commitments to the community and follow through with those commitments. So the question that I asked you prior to the break was the commitment from you in terms of the amount of legislation that you would sponsor. And again, looking at Esther Hayward's record, at least from the year 2006, while there are a number of bills that she has been the co-sponsor of, I only see one bill that she is the sponsor of, and that was the Rosa Parks bill.
Well, that's the point that I'm making. I made the point initially. First of all, I want to tell, you know, I don't like to try to toot my own horn. I'm a trustee in the village of Uplands Park.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the village of Uplands Park. I used to live in Lafayette Square. I saw some of the stuff that we have there, and those ideas were the ideas that we brought up in Uplands Park. We have a new park with a gazebo and a water fountain running, cooling, changed that landscape. We put new signs, street signs, did the tree cutting, recycling for that area. So what I'm saying is when you look at my track record as a legislator, so local legislation, mm-hmm. when I get to Jefferson City, I'm going to do more than just sit in a house and try to pass only one bill out of 6 years of being in a house.
Mm-hmm.
I will try to get the people in my community involved in other projects to improve the standard of living of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about me appearing on your show and making a promise. If I don't do what I tell you I'm going to do, folks, you need to get me out of office after 2 years, not sitting down for another 8 or 10 years.
And that's why we're asking, what is your commitment to the
my community
that you, would,
yeah, well,
that you would sponsor?
Well, one of the things is that most of the people that live in my community have lived there for almost 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they are elderly.
Mm-hmm.
The only hospital, the only emergency unit that we have there was closed.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll be doing is to try to use TIF, mm-hmm. and TIF is tax incremental financing, to try to attract at least an emergency unit, a triage unit, in my community. Folks say, well, you can't do that. And I said, well, I drive around Creefcore and a few other places around here. There's more emergency unit on one street than they need. So I think that we should have one in our community. Those are one of the things that I'm going to try to work on to try to improve the quality of life in my community. Mm-hmm. Another one is, since we have elderly people that live in my community with fixed income, to introduce a bill that will allow some of the cities that have surplus money, for example, money that they were supposed to use for just capital improvement. If they have it sitting around there, that some of that capital improvement could be used to upgrade those elderly's homes. So their property value goes up. And I didn't go back to tell you, but when I bought my house in All Points Park, I paid 40-some thousand for it. After we did the park and all the stuff we did, the house is $130,000 now. So those are the kind of little things a leader would do. You just don't say, well, my job is just to pass the law. If the school district is falling apart, it's not my job.
And that's why, again, when people evaluate, mm-hmm. we're sitting here evaluating mm-hmm. Esther Haywood on the legislation that she has sponsored. So we want to know, for a person that wants to replace an incumbent, any incumbent, or run for office without mm-hmm. an incumbent, mm-hmm. what is the it seems like people that run for office often don't like to make commitments, you know, because they don't want to necessarily, and from some people's perspective, they don't want to be held accountable for those commitments, mm-hmm. or they articulate it in terms of, I don't want to make a promise that I can't commit. Sponsoring legislation is something that you can do. Mm-hmm. That sponsoring is something, a legislation is something that every single legislator can do. So the question comes back to, I hear what you're saying about trying to work on the health care piece for the seniors in your community. So what are you telling the seniors in your community? Are you going to sponsor legislation for that issue? And what
That's
are the
correct.
Legislation?
I will sponsor legislation allowing, if possibly, the hospital chains, mm-hmm. Is something that I've got to look at the details and tell you what specific. I can't give you specific information on legislation that I haven't gotten to the House yet. When you get into the House, I have to find the specific and give you that information. But let me make it clear here. I'm not running for office to stay there and marinate. Mm-hmm. I'm running for office for probably, maybe not more than 2 terms. To be a state legislator. My objective is to go there and do what I need to do and move on to another subject so somebody else can come in and take it, because I don't have the consortium of ideas. There's a lot of people out there with ideas. And the problem that we're having in terms of this dialogue is that folks see politicians and come and making promises and going and not doing anything for them because they don't have information on that politician. And what I would do is to try to re-educate folks on the politicians that you have, issues that you, when you go out to vote, you should know the issues. That is the duty of the elected officials, to try to find get information down to people. I will sponsor specific legislation to try to streamline operations for business. Mm-hmm. So that we can attract economic development in my neighborhood. We have junkyards, we have payday loan, you know, those are the kind of things we have. I need strong economic development. We also need to empower the people that live in the community so that they can become business people themselves. Those are the kind of legislations that I'm thinking about introducing. Mm-hmm. But I cannot go into specific at this time because it has to be in consultation with the people that you're trying to help. You can't just come down from Jefferson City and say, well, this is what we're going to do in this neighborhood. I've got to talk to the people in the community. What do you want, Joe? Pete, how do you think we can help you? And we have a lot of municipalities in my district, and all of them have different concepts. So my idea is to get everybody to sit down and figure out how we can get this party started, how we can get this place to move.
Well, and certainly you want citizens' input on,
that's correct,
on anything that you do. However, you didn't need citizens' input when you went into Uplands Park and saw what was needed in Uplands Park. You didn't need citizens' input before you looked around in your community and understood what the needs were, so that there are some basic types of things that should be in the mind of all candidates, mm-hmm. in terms of the type of legislation that they intend to introduce, irrespective of talking to every citizen within that community, because every citizen isn't necessarily going to have input on certain types of bill, or even that's why they elect you, is for your insight and your plan for their community.
That's fine. That's why we have a representative government. Mm-hmm. The fact still is that in order to take the actions that we took in Upland's Park, we still consulted the people.
But it started somewhere.
It started somewhere. The idea is conceived in your head, and then mm-hmm. you see if it will work. And it did work, mm-hmm. Because if you look at the price of home before we put the park there and the price of home now, you see the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you don't have to get everybody all involved in order to make a decision, but there are certain things that you cannot put the cart before the horse.
And so, and we're not asking for, I'm not asking for types of legislation that you have to talk to the community about. Just trying to get some sense of the type of legislation that you would introduce and the commitment to that particular topic. For instance, there are people that have, their passion is education. Mm-hmm. And they already have in their mind, you know what, we're going to go and we're going to change I'm going to introduce legislation to change the formula, the educational formula, because the way that it is right now is unfair. That is my plan.
Well, that's my plan. Mm-hmm. I plan to get the other legislatures involved in trying to have the Bush administration to fund their no-funded mandate, which mm-hmm. is No Child Left Behind. I plan on doing that. Mm-hmm. I plan on introducing bill to restore the courts, the medical courts that were passed with the current administration. Those are the things that I'm going to be the Blunt administration. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I'm going to be working with. But I also need to be in consultation with my leadership, because I don't know where they're going to put me when I get into the House. Mm-hmm. There's so many other committees that I would like to be in, but that has to be done by the leadership. I have to work with the environment that I'm set.
Okay, and we're going to take a break. This is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Henry Iwanafu, candidate for the 71st District, State of Missouri, House of Representatives. We will be back shortly.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in the 8:45 segment of the show.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hello, St. Louis. My name is Oliver. You may or may not be familiar with my work. I like sports. I can be very opinionated. And I will be hosting my very own radio show. Join me every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. The Oliver Show on WGNU 920 AM.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. I'm delighted to say that Curran Events is now on Monday nights from 8 to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station for the issues that matter most.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Don't have to be old to be wise. The bird doesn't wait till he dies to fly. An emptiness is not for me. Fill me up a spell.
This hour's segment of the wake-up call is sponsored by the citizens to elect Henry E. Iwenefu, Adrian Schaefer, treasurer.
Oh, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. This morning we're talking politics with the Democratic candidate for the 71st District House of Representatives, Henry Iwenefu. And Henry, welcome back. We were talking about types of legislation that commitment to types of legislation that you would introduce as an elected official, as the Democrat for the 71st District. Tell us about, in terms of your vision for the 71st District. And we just have a few more minutes left.
Okay. Well, I would like to, you know, we've talked all morning, and I didn't tell anybody where they can get more information. They can go to www.henryiwenefu.org, and they can get some more information.
And spell that for people, please.
The first name is H-E-N-R-Y, and the last name is I-W-E-N-O-F-U.org. My vision is to have the same type of economic development that you have in the surrounding area. We haven't had, good example is if you wanted to get a cup of coffee or a cup of cafe, cappuccino, you wouldn't find it in my neighborhood, but you could find a few other things that I'm not critical of that type of business, but I don't think it's helpful for the young people, because what children mirror what they see. I don't see a Barnes & Noble bookstore around in my neighborhood. Those are the kind of things, economic development, that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Community learning centers where children will learn, and participation with both private and government agencies to create opportunity for parents to be involved in their children's life, and a reward, an incentive for parents to be involved in their children's life. Healthcare. Every person that lives in this country should be able to have access to quality health care. I'm not just talking basic health care, but quality health care. We spend $450 billion fighting a war. I mean, if we only spend $50 billion, I don't know. But if we spend a portion of it here, people should be able to have health care. Education is number one for me, because if you have the education, every other thing is available to you in terms of finding solutions to existing problems.
Mm-hmm. And we only have a few more minutes here. And unfortunately, and this is some of the things that we also discussed at the Urban Institute, there are things when candidates run for office, things that people say that are true or untrue. There are ugly things that people say about candidates that are running for office. And I've been struggling with how do we deal with this particular question that is out there that someone wants to ask today. And I know that it is you always hate it when people say ugly and untrue things about you. But as an elected official, you're going to have to, you know, respond to those. So I'd like to get this ugliness out of the way, if we may.
Well, what I normally say to people when they have ugly things to say is no comment. There's no need to, because people are going to say ugly things about mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. God walks in mysterious ways. Mm-hmm. Whenever you are trying to do something positive, somebody's going to try to do something negative to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no comment for anybody that has anything negative to say.
Okay. So let me get to this person that wants to say this ugly thing. You're on the wake-up call.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the wake-up call.
All right. I would like to ask the young man, what are his plans to do, what is his plan to take care of child support Dodgers?
Okay, thank you for your question.
What I'm supposed to do about what?
Child support dodgers. Apparently there is there are people out there that are interested in. I think that that's been brought up with somebody else's candidacy. Mm-hmm. So they want to know, again, bringing up ugly stuff about other people. Is there something that you have in mind for the issue of people that do not pay child support?
Oh, okay. Well, the only thing I can say is that when we bring children into this world, we're responsible for them. And in some cases, parents should be responsible for their children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a very difficult situation where you have two parents separating and you have fathers who are not supporting their children or mothers who are not supporting their children. It is the responsibility of the father or the mother to support their children.
Both of them.
You know, so, and the only thing I could say is if you have children, do whatever you can to take care of them.
And legislatively, do you have anything in mind or are you comfortable with the legislation that is out there to deal with that?
I think what needs to be done with that is to incorporate the relationship between the two parents and the child. Because oftentimes you have our society is built on an adversary mm-hmm. situation where people are fighting each other. And at the end of the day, the children end up suffering. So to find ways, I don't think criminalizing, sending a parent to jail is going to pay child support.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is, if he's making money, go after and get the money from where the money is.
Well, there are also places that states that have these new courts
mm-hmm.
for fathers that are fathers and mothers that are having problems with paying their child support. They get rid of a lot of the arrears. They work with the parents to get them jobs. They work with the parents to establish the relationship with the kids and to keep relationships with the kids. Is that a piece of legislation that you would be?
I think that's because the bottom line is the children is the most important thing. And that's the kind of legislation that I'll be willing to support and I will introduce and explore. I think it's important to have a cordial relationship where the two parents work out their difference and make sure the children benefit from what they need. Incarcerating a mother or father is not going to, taxpayers are going to pay for to lock somebody who's not paying up child support.
And then deal with the children that don't have a relationship.
And deal with the children that don't have a relationship with their parents.
Okay, so we have about four more minutes left here, Henry. In terms of a citizen, a reason why a citizen should support you, you've talked about how the ethnic composition of your district. What is, I guess, your commitment to, or what is your plan for, commitment to and plan for dealing with the specific needs of people of African descent? What's your plan?
Well, I tend to look, are you talking about in terms of my district? Or
in terms of your district.
In terms of my district. I think that we all share, we have some problems, but we all share the same concept if we live in my district. We have the same desire to have a better life. We have the same desire to be left alone and live peacefully. We have the same desire to enjoy what America gives us. So I don't think I have a specific plan for my community as African-American community, but I have a specific plan that every American that live in my district should be able to have the same opportunities that is afforded to people in the neighboring community. It's a shame to live in my community and make only $18,000 a year. And I mean, what are you going to do with that kind of? There's no, and that's $18,000 can't even get you a decent living. So my commitment to my community is to find opportunities, to bring opportunity, to bring businesses. If people can get a job in Arizona. You know, that's where, you know, my whole thing is, how do we get corporations to come here and do business in Missouri? How do we make it, create opportunity for people in my district? When I drive to St. Charles, when I drive to West County, I see all these houses popping up. And we're destroying our ecological system just to build new houses while my community have all this opportunity available. So what I'm trying to do is to drag those same things back into my community to bring it back. It used to be the oldest suburb in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Well, the challenge that communities that are comprised of largely of people of African descent. It's the challenge of the legacy of racism that causes a lot of the economic development to go elsewhere, a lot of people of African descent not to get those jobs. So in order to address that, shouldn't a candidate also have a plan to address the challenges that are specific to people of African descent and fighting those challenges that are specific to people of African descent? So it goes back to...
What I'm trying to say is if we're not... I don't want to narrow the opportunities because Africans have been in this country since before it became United States of America. And some of them have achieved and made it back... Wall Street used to be owned by a guy named Anthony Portuguese in the 1600s. What I'm saying is that we can still make it irrespective of the difficulties racism presents. I'm not saying that racism is not well and alive, but we have to bear in mind that the most important thing is that our elected officials should not hide behind the flag or the facade of racism and not do what they are elected to do in the community. There's a revenue allocation that comes from the federal government, goes to the state gives that to the district. Our elected officials should walk and try to make those things work. And then after we fix our houses, then we can go and say, hey, this is our pie. We could do something about it. And I'm not saying that we don't have racism. It's well and alive. But we need to, charity begins at home. We need to get our house in order. Racism is not the reason Normandy's school district has fallen apart. Racism is not the reason why we don't have economic development alone. Some of it, yes, but some of it is just lack of good leadership. And we have to hold our elected black officials responsible to make sure that they do the things that needs to be done in our community. And then we can go out and tell the other members of the community, our nation, that things are not being done.
And that's going to have to be the end of it. Henry Iwanafu, Democrat candidate for the 71st District, thank you for joining me this morning on the show.
It was a pleasure.
And I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
This hour segment has been sponsored by Citizens to Elect Henry E. Iwanafu, Adrian Schaefer's president.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden.
Like the bombing of London in World War II. That's the only thing I can imagine. It was one huge boom.
That's television personality Larry King, a witness to an explosion, fire, and collapse of a building today in New York City in one of the city's busiest neighborhoods. ABC's Aaron Katursky is there.
This is a residential area on the east side of Manhattan between Madison and Park Avenues. This building collapsed after eyewitnesses said they heard some kind of an explosion. Firefighters are now streaming water onto what's left of the building to tamp out any remaining fire.
The White House says there is no reason at this point to believe that this may have been an act of terrorism. Some in Russia compared him to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, even Osama bin Laden. There are reports that Chechen warlord Shamil Basayev is dead. He's believed to have been behind some of the worst incidents in modern Russia, including the seizure of a school in Beslan a few years ago. We could learn more today about five soldiers charged in an alleged attack on a young Iraqi female. Four are accused of raping and killing the alleged victim, the fifth for not reporting it. ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad says investigators may have a tough time gathering forensic evidence in this case.
U.S. investigators now face a new problem. They have approached the family to ask about digging up the bodies of the victims to gather forensic evidence. But for Muslims, disturbing graves is a highly sensitive topic.
The four accused in the attack could face the death penalty. The first lawsuit stemming from Hurricane Katrina begins today. Paul Leonard and his wife claim Nationwide Mutual Insurance denied their claim without thoroughly investigating the damage to their house in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
My policy covered the effects of the hurricane, one, because my agent told me that it did, and two, because it was not excluded from my policy.
Well, Nationwide says the damage was because of water, not because of wind, which isn't covered under Leonard's plan. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow's up 59 points, NASDAQ up 9. This is ABC News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Mine is simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a three-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
is Mommy sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
When someone goes missing, there is only one team to turn to.
When was the last time you saw him?
The Missing Persons Unit.
Nobody's seen him in 3 days.
Without a trace, now, every weeknight on TNT. Before they can find out where they are, they have to find out who they are.
Does she have any enemies?
From executive producer Jerry Bruckheimer.
Where is she?
Without a trace, tonight, 7, 6 Central on TNT. See why the original is still the best. Don't miss Law & Order at 8, 7 Central on TNT.
Two Discovery astronauts are on a spacewalk this morning, the second of the mission. They're doing some repairs on the International Space Station. Thousands of people across parts of Wisconsin are hearing that, and they may still be without power today. A severe thunderstorm knocked out service to the Milwaukee area. The National Weather Service, meanwhile, is looking into reports of a tornado in southeastern Colorado. Several witnesses say they saw a funnel cloud near Pueblo. President Bush is getting a new cabinet secretary, his third, to run the Treasury. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The president's first two at Treasury were industrialists, steel and railroad executives, both left under a cloud of dissatisfaction. But Henry Paulson is a titan from Wall Street. President Bush, who will witness today's swearing-in, hopes Paulson will reassure the markets on economic policy. And come to ABC News, the White House.
Loaf of bread may cost you more. Sell me a six-pack of your favorite beer. Skimpy winter wheat crop drove up the prices, and so far it looks like the spring crop isn't much better. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Here's an update of WGNU News brought to you by the Gateway Clean Air Program. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, the high cost of gas is forcing people to make cuts elsewhere. Julie Neiman, an analyst for Smith, Moore & Company, says people are not cutting back on how much they put into their gas tanks.
They're not putting as much in the grocery cart. They're not putting as much in the cart at Walmart. They're cutting back on spending in other areas just so they have the ability to drive where they want, when they want, and how fast they want.
Neiman predicts this latest spike in gas prices will last into the fall because there's such a heavy demand worldwide. She says consumers can help bring down the cost of gasoline by cutting back on consumption. Gas prices in the St. Louis area range from $2.92 to over $3. You might have to pay more on your electric bill in 2007. Ameren UE filed a request Friday for an increase in base rates for electrical service with the Missouri Public Service Commission. Erica Abbott with Ameren UE explains what the basic customer can expect should this request be approved.
We consider a typical residential customer to be a customer who uses about 1,000 kilowatt hours a month. So that typical customer would see the electric bill rise from approximately $66 per month to $72 per month, excluding taxes.
This would be Ameren UE's first rate increase in nearly 20 years. A decision is expected no later than June 2007, and rate increases would occur sometime during that year should the approval come. And finally, the pools at Shaw Park in Clayton will reopen to the public today. The pools had to be drained and cleaned last week because broken glass was found in the water and on the decks. 17-year-old Tim Lamping is charged with vandalizing the pools. Authorities say Lamping, the son of St. Louis Cardinals President Mark Lamping, has already agreed to make restitution and could still face a fine and jail time. That's WGNU News, brought to you by the Gateway Clean Air Program. The Gateway Clean Air Program, reminding listeners of the importance of preventative maintenance. GatewayCleanAir.com. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting for WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 40 between Spadie and Hanley is slow traffic in pockets as well. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed till midday to do maintenance this hour.
eastbound 40 onto the paving, onto the 40, onto the bridge. Look for paving operations reduced to three lanes, and the center lane is, left center lane is closed this hour. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got paving operations as well. The three lanes are closed, and the right center lane, or three lanes are open, right center lane is closed. All your other approaches on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays due to this paving operations, and there are a number of area of construction projects going on in the city, county, and St. Charles County, so just use caution as you roll up through those areas. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock, plus save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot, taking care of business. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Wednesday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies. This morning, mostly cloudy. This afternoon, chance of showers with a high in the upper 80s. This evening, mostly cloudy. Another chance of showers, low in the mid-70s. Tuesday, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers, high in the upper 80s. And Wednesday, partly sunny for the most part with a high in the mid-90s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 77 degrees under cloudy skies. Stay tuned now for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, talk to me, sisters. Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers,
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It is Monday, and so this is the hour that we have our discussion on Mondays at 9. It is 9 o'clock, and it is time for Mondays at 9.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Our guest this morning is Ian Williams, the author of UN for Beginners. He's joining us from New York. Ian, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Very good. You know, I look at the current administration, George Bush's administration, and the decisions that they have made and the issues that they've engaged in and what they've approached the UN for, it's really kind of, I think it is mind-boggling. When you think that, when you look at the fact that this administration has sent, has insisted against the will and the wishes of Congress, has sent a Bolton to the UN, and then comes back to the UN and asks that same UN and ignores the UN in their invasion in Iraq, their preemptive strike against Iraq, and then comes back and asks the UN to do things on their behalf, like go after, provide sanctions against North Korea.
You know what it reminds me of?
What's that?
It's the battered wife syndrome. I mean, because the UN keeps sort of being obliging no matter how often they get beaten up.
No matter how often and how awful their husband is,
yeah.
they keep doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's for similar reasons, I suppose, you know, is that, you know, the... The U.S. is the sort of equivalent of the breadwinner, in a sense. It's the only one that's got the wherewithal to really make the show, you know, put the show on the road.
UN wouldn't have a job and wouldn't be able to go anywhere if it wasn't for the United States. And
it would still be able to, but it would be a much attenuated role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the reasons why other countries want to be in there is because it's one of the few places they can actually engage with the U.S.
Mm.
So, what occurred to me is I've just finished... It's not the final draft, but the first draft of a piece I've got in the Washington Spectator on precisely this issue that I could email to you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would love to see that. What should the average person know about the UN?
Well, I mean, the thing is that the UN... People sort of get confused. They think that the UN is a sort of crusading body. I mean, the analogy I've used in here, it's like air traffic control. This is diplomatic central. It keeps all of the issues flying and moving, you know, and it facilitates that type of exchange. And, you know, nobody gets enthusiastic about air traffic control unless it's not there.
There you go.
The real point is that, my point is that behind Bush... are the group of ideologues who seriously and genuinely don't want the UN to be there. As a fallback position, they're quite prepared to bully the UN into acting as a sort of total instrument of US policy. They're prepared to tolerate it then. But John Bolton and the others, they literally do not believe in international law. They don't believe it affects the United States.
Do they believe in diplomacy?
Because, no, not really.
Because I'm thinking of a movie that I saw not too long ago, The Interpreter, with Nicole Kidman, and
yeah.
And one of the lines, she worked for the UN, and one of the lines that she talked about in terms of describing the role of the UN, she said that she believed in diplomacy. She said that it's not as fast as a bullet, but the UN serves the purpose of diplomacy.
Yeah.
This administration doesn't believe in diplomacy.
Well, I've actually got a quote from Boutros Ghali in this piece that you would like. He said, America is like the Roman Empire. They don't believe they need diplomacy. They just have to issue instructions and send troops. And I've added the rider that worked very well for the Romans until the Goths, the Vandals.
Absolutely.
And the Huns got sick of being treated as reservoirs of slaves and turned on the Roman Empire.
There you go. So, Ian, can we talk a little bit about
Give me your email so I can send you this while I'm...
revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution. That's LIZZBrown.com. LIZZBrown.com.
Liz Brown, all one word.
Correct.
.com. Okay.
revolution@lizbrown.com. Now, in terms of, can we maybe have a bit of a discussion of the UN before Bush and the UN after?
One of the things that's, once again, I mentioned in this article, which is sort of very timely, it's coming out Washington Spectator this weekend, is that I only mention it in passing, but actually what Bush has done, he's sort of taken, he has continued and exacerbated a policy that's been fairly consistent. A lot of people at the UN actually don't see that much difference between Madeleine Albright
and
John Bolton.
Interesting. You know, I need you to hold that thought. We have to take a quick break. I'll be right back with you after this. I'm Liz Brown. This hour we're talking to Ian Williams, author of UN for Beginners, joining us from New York. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Sandy.
And this is Bobby. And we'd like to invite you to join us on The Design Life every Monday afternoon from 4 to 5.
We hope you'll join us as we talk about designing your life to achieve success and fulfillment. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to this week's edition of Mondays at 9. This is Liz Brown. Our guest this morning is Ian Williams, author of UN for Beginners, joining us from New York. Ian, welcome back.
Okay.
We were talking about the difference between the UN under Bush and others, and you were making the point that people at the UN are saying that there's not a whole lot of difference between Madeleine Albright and John Bolton. Explain.
Well, it's a difference in sort of, well, the difference in diplomacy. Madeleine Albright and the Clinton administration believed in diplomacy. But in the end, they still thought that the UN was something you could pick up and use when you wanted and put down when it wasn't used. And the classic case for this, which people keep forgetting, is that it was Madeleine Albright, at the behest of Bill Clinton, who stood up in the Security Council and threatened to veto any attempt to reinforce the peacekeepers in Rwanda during the genocide there. That's sort of been forgotten in the history books. But that what they were doing, if they have an excuse, is that they were pandering to the people in Congress who are now in charge, who were refusing to increase to pay any increases. Bill Clinton didn't want to risk domestic political capital by going to the Congress and asking for more money for UN peacekeeping. And so his solution was a presidential directive which basically said that the UN, the US would veto any American, any UN peacekeeping force unless there were direct American interests involved. And basically at that period in history, nobody really thought that 800,000 black people in Rwanda having their throats slit was a direct American interest. And to some extent they could get away with it because almost uniquely in this country, most people are not concerned about foreign affairs. They're only concerned when foreign affairs hit them.
And sometimes not even that. I mean, that do you see, Ian, that there's any, or do you believe that there is a disconnect in the United States between the city? I mean, maybe it's because we only have two countries that border us. We're clueless about other countries, and we don't understand Canada or Mexico either. So it seems like that there is a disconnect between.
If you try to read the newspapers here and. As far as I know, the New York Times Canadian correspondent lives in Long Island, which says it all. And here you have, I mean, one of the things you think of Canada, here you have a real-time experiment. You have people speaking the same language on the same continent.
There you go.
On one side, you have an advanced social security system. You have a national health service that with universal coverage. You have a very low murder rate, a relatively low incarceration rate. And, you know, relatively speaking, sort of social harmony. And then just look south of the border and ask yourself, you know, this is almost, you'd almost suspect some mad scientist had set this up as an experiment.
Absolutely.
But nobody here is looking. Nobody looks north and sees what happens.
Or when we do, Ian, the fascinating sociological, and I submit psychological thing is that when many of us do look north, we look askance at the idea of universal health coverage. That's socialism. So even when we do look, we don't see it clearly.
Oh, well, in fact, I remember interviewing Bernie Sanders, as you know, the only avowed socialist at-large member for Vermont, and I asked him how he got away with it, and he said, well, people in Vermont can look over the border, and they can see that you can have universal health care without gulags.
1-877-920-WGNU. Ian, let me get to a caller or two here. Dimitri, you have a question for Ian Williams.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes. Mr. Williams, good morning.
Good morning.
It's my feeling that in order to try to understand the bewildering decisions that are coming out of Washington is because the focal point is on our good government. But if you switch the focal point to Israel, then you can understand why this government is making the kind of decisions, because most of those decisions are to for the benefit of Israel. And I'd like to hear your opinion on that statement.
Thank you,
Mr. Williams.
We can see that relationship played out in the UN of all places, can't we?
Oh, very clearly. I mean, at one time, the United States used to pride itself on not using the veto. And I think at current rates, the U.S. is actually catching up on the old Soviet Union under Khrushchev, who kept shouting yet. And in almost every single case, the veto or the threat of a veto is on issues affecting Israel.
Explain to us how the veto works in the UN and give us some examples of that.
Well, the Security Council is a sort of central committee of the United Nations. It has 15 members. Five of them are permanent. And these were the guys who happened to be around in 1945 when everyone else had lost. That's Britain, France, China, Russia, then the Soviet Union, of course, and the United States. And the big problem that the people framing the League of Nations had, that the United Nations had, they looked at the League of Nations, which had fallen apart before the First World War and before the Second World War, and they said, well, how do we keep the big guys in? You know, how do you stop them running away with the ball? And the solution, the sort of pragmatic and but unjust, was that these five permanent members who don't have to be elected would each have a veto. If they cast a no vote in the Security Council, then the resolution is dead, even if all the other 14 members vote against. So that's the position. And what's happened with the United States is that that veto has basically become a proxy veto for Israel for the last 15 years. I don't think... I think the last resolution that was allowed through was at the very first time that, when the Israelis had gone into the West Bank and were attacking. And it was a very mild and attenuated resolution, of course, because the U.S. threatened to veto it. Now, that's bad enough in its own right, but it's the effect this has. If you have a joined-up foreign policy, then how do you go to the rest of the world and say, well, we want to go and zap Iran or Iraq or Korea because we think they're breaking international law? And everyone else in the rest of the world turns around and says, but excuse me, the Israelis, we all think the Israelis are breaking international law. And you haven't done anything about it, and you're stopping us doing anything about it. So, you know, really, that's totally sapped American credibility as a fair, you know, as a fair judge or a disinterested partner in almost any issue. And it keeps coming up on every issue. The Third World will come up and say, excuse me, why not? You know, if we must do this, if international law must be enforced against Iraq, then why not against Israel? If Iran isn't allowed to have nuclear weapons, then how come Israel has 200 and you ain't saying nothing?
There you go. And we have to take a quick break, Ian.
Sure.
I'm talking to Ian Williams, author of UN for Beginners, joining us from New York. This is Mondays at 9. My name is Liz Brown. I will be back after this break. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, this is Pastor Ariel Williams of the Oil of God Ministries, located at 4300 Gaynor, right here in St. Louis, inviting you to join me every Saturday morning at 6:30 to start your weekend with something old and something new. We bring you a mixture of old school gospel plus the latest sounds, as well as church calendar news and a word from God to help you be empowered and victorious in Christ. Every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on your weekend gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Yes.
Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs, 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Break out the aspirin. Brett Rosen delivers head-thumping talk radio at WGNU.net.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Around the world, behind the story, it's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
Time has come today. Your hearts can go their way. Can't put it all another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this morning, Ian Williams. Ian is the author of UN for Beginners. He's joining us from New York. And Ian, getting to your article, one of the issues that you point out in it is the amazing disconnect or the amazing different ways that the UN is looked at. You talk about how the UN is being framed as a boogeyman, and you point to it as an example of that is the NRA's magazine cover. Talk to us about that.
Well, the UN, they've just finished at the UN the conference on the Convention on Limitation of the Trade in Small Arms. And this is no small issue. This is small arms, but we have to remember that most of the people in the world who have been killed in the last 50 years have been killed with small arms. And one of the big problems, especially in Africa, is the availability of huge numbers of particularly AK-47s.
And they didn't grow on trees. Okay.
No. They're being traded. And it's mostly, of course, people in Britain, France, and America
Absolutely.
And others that trade these weapons.
Absolutely.
And even when they're made in Russia, the AK-47 is the best because in the hands of even the most inept user, it's lethal, it's long-lasting. It was made for the use of semi-literate peasants in the Red Army to begin with. So this is, as weapons go, high quality, very durable. They last almost forever. You can bury them in rice paddies and in swamps and dig them up and use them again. So, and they have a very long life. Which is more, by the way, than you can say about American infantry weapons, which is another story. But I don't think the Kalashnikov company has a lobbyist in Washington, so they haven't been able to sell them. But they can sell them everywhere else. This is what kills people. So John Bolton, when this treaty first came up, tried to sabotage it then, acting as the sort of spokesman of the NRA. He was then undersecretary at the State Department. Now he's the ambassador. This went on inconclusively. But the NRA actually had as their front cover a wolf in the gun sights, and the wolf's blue eyes staring into the gun sight are blue UN insignia. Now, the UN isn't attempting to in any way to limit the Second Amendment. Its concern is about international trade. It's about the fact that guns here might find themselves in the Congo or Rwanda or Iraq or anywhere else and be used for sort of terrorism and terrorizing in various ways. So that's what the treaty is about. But the NRA knew that if they put the UN there, that's a hot button issue, and they will it's like what they put in vaccines and adjuvants. It sort of strengthens the response of the people concerned. You know, the NRA constituency, they're already hopping mad about guns, but you throw in the UN, and, you know, these guys,
go ballistic.
They think the UN is about to try and take over the US.
They go ballistic.
Yep. Good word.
And this goes back to the point that you were making earlier about, and I guess it makes your point ironic, the fact that we have a country that is really unconcerned with, the United States citizens are mostly, largely unconcerned with international affairs, except when it comes to guns.
Well, except when it comes to guns, or because you have sort of ethnic lobbies, you have a lot of hyphenated Americans who are deeply concerned. You know, you've got a large lobby here that thinks that that treats Israel as the 51st state. You have a large lobby in Florida that thinks that it doesn't care what happens to the rest of the world as long as Fidel Castro is knocked down. So you have some of these exile groups that are disproportionately strong, and the reason they are strong is because nobody else cares about foreign policy.
Well, they're also strong because they get support from the government. They're also strong because they get positive PR, and they're also strong because portions of the government rely upon them for votes and money and support.
Well, you have to remember that George Bush Sr. was actually resisting the strengthening of the sanctions on Cuba. And all it took was one of the Cuba sugar barons in Florida to have a fundraiser for Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton agreed to the Torricelli Amendment, which strengthened sanctions on Cuba.
There you go.
Overnight.
You go.
I mean, and You talk about foreign policy on the cheap. He spent, what, $250,000 on a fundraiser? And for $250,000, he has bought the world's superpower's foreign policy. Now, yeah. I mean, just how bad can you get?
It's lousy. It really is. It just doesn't take that much money to buy him.
Well, the other one, which the British, I remember, I spoke to the British Foreign Secretary at the time, and he was hopping mad, was the head of the United Fruit Company gave a $500,000 donation to Clinton again. I mean, and he was, in return for that, the U.S. launched a case at the World Trade Organization, which basically undercut the economies of most of the Caribbean islands, because he bought... Basically, what he bought was a trade case that blew holes in the European Union's preferential treatment for the bananas in the former colonies in the Caribbean.
This was the cheetah, the what is the banana, the cheetah or the...
It's the United Fruit Company. I mean, most of their fruit is grown with non-union labor in Central America on, you know, big and efficient plantations, whereas the Caribbean stuff is mostly grown by small peasant farmers benefits from this preferential tariff. But, I mean, these countries were supposed to be our allies in the war on drugs, but for $500,000, the head of the United Fruit Company managed to just blow a hole in American foreign policy. So, but the reason for that is because nobody cares. It means that on any given issue, if you care enough to write a check or bombard your congressman with emails, then nobody cares. And on the United Nations, like I say, most people... Poll after poll shows that most Americans think kindly about the United Nations. They like the idea that there's global international law. They like the idea that there's some constraints on any government, including the U.S. government. But they're not the ones who do the shouting. Whereas those NRA types, the people who sort of froth at the mouth at the mere mention of the U.N., they're the ones who bombard their congressmen with emails. They're the ones who write checks for all sorts of dubious causes, if you can attach them to the
well, they have the money. Don't you think, I mean, all things being equal, it's the money that gives the NRA their clout, because they don't necessarily yell any louder than some of the bloggers are doing when they, particularly like when we're talking about the position on the Iraq war or impeachment of George Bush, but they don't have the money that the NRA has been able to amass over the years they've been. And also, the NRA, wasn't it formed the same year as I think it was the same year as the Civil War or something like that?
The NRA was originally founded to ensure that you know, that we had a lot of highly trained sharpshooters ready for the war.
Exactly. So it's been around for a number of years.
Oh, it's a very long, but it's been transformed, and it's become the home to all of these other factors. Look, I mean, it's not just the case, the bloggers are shouting, but a lot of the liberal left people in the U.S. have, for fairly obvious reasons, abandoned politics in the sort of institutional sense.
Democrat versus Republican.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you can shout as much as you like, but these people aren't writing to their congressmen. I mean, and they're not targeting, they're not sort of united.
Well, the
NRA, if they say this particular this Democrat liberal congressman is threatening the Second Amendment, we want you to put it, then from all over the country, checks will pour into his opponent. And volunteers will turn up.
And again, I would go back to it, to the length of this organization. This just didn't happen overnight for the NRA. So when we look at the bloggers, what's going on in the bloggers, I would point to what's happening to Joe Lieberman as proof of money, proof of influence of bloggers. I mean, we'll see what happens, but they have managed to put a candidate against Joe Lieberman, and Joe Lieberman is so impacted by this. He's saying, "Well, if I lose, I'm going to run as an independent."
Yeah, well, that's I mean, of course, and that's what usually the liberals won't do is run as an independent, because they're too loyal to the party. Mm-hmm. And Lieberman obviously has not a great deal of loyalty to the Democratic Party.
He doesn't have any loyalty to the Democrat. He's the one that's the same person that when he was chosen, which was the death nail for Al Gore, when they chose him as his running mate, he said, "Well, I'm not giving up my seat while I run with you now, because just in case I lose this, I want my other gig." So he's always been dedicated to number one.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's been a disaster, and he's been one of the problems. Let us say the conservative wing of the Democratic Party is much larger and more influential than the liberal wing of the Republican Party.
There you go. Absolutely. But
there are some rational members of the Republican Party. I mean, if you just look at Senator Lugar, for example, in the Foreign Affairs Committee, he is on many issues, probably to the left of Madeleine Albright. Or at least, I mean, in this case, I mean, I really think it's not a case of left versus right because there are lunatics on both sides. We're talking about rational versus crazy. And, you know, Lugar is rational. He knows. That's an example in point, by the way. For 20 years at the UN, they've been negotiating the international law of the sea. And just think about this. Pollution in the sea. The fish are disappearing. The whole rules about where you can sail your ships and where you can't. So for 20 years, they worked on this magnificent piece of legislation, which almost every other country in the world has signed onto. The one that's yet to ratify it is, of course, the United States. Lugar and the Pentagon wanted to sign on for this treaty last year. And what did we find? We found that the backwoodsmen, the crazies in the Republican Party, nixed it because they do not believe in international law. Basically, they think the U.S. Navy has the right to go wherever the U.S. Navy wants to.
And do whatever they want.
Yes, and you know, having a law that applies to everyone is a constraint upon the United States, as far as they're concerned.
Let me get to a caller or two here, and then we're going to have to take a break. But when we come back, Ian, I would love to talk about the United States and their position on the international court to try people that are charged with international crimes. And
wonderful one.
Okay, so we'll talk about that, but let me get to a couple of callers here. Frank, you have a question for
us? Yeah, on the subject of small arms, I heard him talk earlier about Rwanda. How come Kofi Annan, when he was warned that the Hutus were disarming all of the Tutsis, and after they took even their machetes away, they came in with firearms and machetes and killed anywhere from 700,000 to a million Tutsis? How come Kofi Annan didn't do anything about that?
Kofi.
Yep.
Ian.
Well, Kofi Annan was a UN bureaucrat. He was a cog in the wheel. And he actually, the report, which I think you can get online from the UN, is one of the, let's say, it's a confession of the UN's failure, and it's a fairly merciless one, except the names are taken out. And the real issue for Kofi Annan at the time was anyone prepared to come forward with peacekeeping forces? What were you going to do about it? So Raymond Dallaire, who was the Canadian officer in charge, he was sending these reports, and he said, look, we've got to go and seize these arsenals. We know where the, we've had informants who've told us where this stuff is being stockpiled. And the big bugbear of the UN is respect for sovereignty. Rwanda actually had a delegate sitting on the Security Council at this time. So, you know, it was tied with this legal fiction of sovereignty. Well, it's not a fiction. It was tied with the legal doctrine of sovereignty. So the peacekeepers actually wanted to intervene directly. And Kofi Annan had to relay the instructions from New York. No, you can't. In retrospect, he thinks that they should have done a lot more. I mean,
We have to take a break. We're talking to Ian Williams, author of UN for Beginners, joining us from New York. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Monday in the 9:45 segment.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare. Still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Thank you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson, inviting you to join me every Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people just like you who are overcoming obstacles and making a difference in the lives of others. You're invited to share your thoughts. You know people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show, Monday morning at 10 on AM 920 WGNU. We're here to discuss what matters most to you.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the wake-up call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Mondays at 9. My guest this morning is author of UN for Beginners, Ian Williams, joining us from New York. Ian, we wanted to talk about the United States and the international court to try people accused of crimes. The United States' response to that, the UN's response to that?
Well, this has been going on. This is precisely in response to things like Rwanda. The rest of the world said, you know, we cannot do this. And it was quite clear that some countries couldn't provide the couldn't try their war criminals. Some countries didn't want to try them. We had this special tribunal set up for war crimes in Yugoslavia and in Rwanda. And there was a long pressure for a long time to set up an international criminal court. There already is a world court, but that deals with disputes between states, you know, say over boundaries, like Cameroon and Nigeria recently, they took it, or Eritrea and Ethiopia. In the particular case of the International Criminal Court, this is for people like, future Pinochets, one might almost say Henry Kissinger's, people who have committed crimes that the international community really want to hold them responsible for. So this was in the Clinton administration, and the negotiations went on for a long time because already the Clinton administration was listening to what the Pentagon and the people in the establishment there were saying, and they were saying that no United States citizen should ever go before an international court. Well, you have to remember how ridiculous this looked to the rest of the world. Excuse me, you're the country that kidnapped Noriega and brought him back. You're the country that wants to extradite people from all over the world for alleged offenses, and you're saying under no circumstances whatsoever? And they were saying yes, they wanted it written into the treaty as an exemption. So the other delegates gave a lot of way because at the time the United States made the sort of fairly credible case that it had efficient military justice and it had rules and it would abide by them.
How'd those rules and regulations work out for us?
The rules and regulations are fine. It's just that they get ignored, as they did
well, actually,
recently in Iraq.
I would say that we do have those rules and regulations, but they've taken it to, this administration has taken it to Guantanamo, and they've said that they don't apply, and they said that we can do anything that we want to.
Well, exactly. I mean, that makes it even worse, because this is before Guantanamo.
That's exactly right.
Clinton, and almost in his last act, signed the International Convention Treaty on the Criminal Court. The very first thing that came in was that John Bolton engineered the campaign when he was a deputy in the Sex Department of State. This wasn't something that Colin Powell was interested in. This was obviously a sort of fetish for the type of NRA type people we were talking about. And the basic rule was that no United States citizen should be tried abroad. And there's a case this week in Britain which is causing a huge furore. Britain signed a treaty, an extradition treaty with the U.S. and passed legislation, which the U.S. has yet to reciprocate on. And it's causing Tony Blair huge problems, because three businessmen who are vaguely connected to Enron are being extradited to Texas to face charges of embezzling their employer in Britain. Their employer isn't bringing any charges against them. The British government isn't bringing any charges against them. But Tony Blair is sending three businessmen
across
Texas.
Oh, my word.
To be tried. And basically, this is a fishing expedition by the prosecutors. They hope, in the traditional American way of doing things, they'll offer these guys a plea bargain. You name names and let us go. But because they appealed against this, they are technically fugitives from justice as far as the U.S. is concerned. So Tony Blair is handing over three British citizens to a court in Texas, which, you know, some of us have some dubiety about these legal processes in Texas.
Rightly so.
And they will be in prison for 2 years awaiting trial without bail. Now,
no.
Yes. So the International Criminal Court is saying that we can do that to other people. The U.S. is about the International Criminal Court is saying we can do things like that to other people. But we cannot send an American citizen to go before a tribunal in The Hague, which will meet the best standards in the world for justice, and not just that, the coziest prisons in the world.
But the reality of being tried in The Hague, though, and the problem with being tried in the criminal court is, number one, you've got to get your own witnesses there. You have to pay for your witnesses.
No, you don't. This is the difference. These three guys from Britain who are going to Texas, they're having to sell their houses and liquidate their pensions in Britain to pay for their defense in Texas.
But you have to do the same thing if you are with the international
court.
No,
in The Hague, your defense is paid for.
Your witnesses' trips are paid for?
Your witnesses' trips, the lawyers, everything is paid for.
See, that's not my understanding. It's my understanding that that is one of the reasons why Liberian former president, his name is escaping me right now, was so concerned about being taken from Africa to The Hague of the cost of it.
All the expenses in those tribunals in The Hague are paid for.
Mm. Okay.
These people are operating by European standards. And as a lawyer told me at the time of OJ, if you're rich and guilty, you want to be tried in the United States. If you're poor and innocent, you want to be tried in Europe.
Or if you're innocent, you need to be rich as well. You need to be rich in the United States. And well, for me, the OJ case demonstrated that the problem with America is that it matters mightily what kind of evidence and what kind of attorneys that you have access to, because most cases would not be brought against people if people had money to fight them.
Yeah, well, it's a long time since any millionaire was ever found guilty of murder.
Mm-hmm. And fair enough. So in terms of the UN and this court, so where does that leave the United States?
Well, the United States, in this administration, they broke international law by unsigning the treaty, which is something that's never happened before. And then John Bolton engaged upon a massive campaign of bullying smaller countries into passing riders to their signature to the treaty, saying that they would not extradite any American citizen to the court. Now, this is probably illegal in the terms of the treaty again, but they went to these countries and told them, you will not get any aid.
Who did they get that? Who did they get the riders from?
Well, from the government.
I know. No, what countries?
Mostly the Caribbean-held firm. Guyana was one that crumbled under the assault. Small African countries. In Europe, they just stood firm because the European Union made it plain that they would not, that the European Union was having nothing to do with this, and that they were too big. It's one of the other things about American foreign policy at the moment. If you stand, if you've got the strength to stand up, then you'll get a pass, you know. But if you're small and weak, then they will keep on kicking until you surrender.
What are the interesting and what is your take on this? I'm hearing requests from or cries from Iraq that the military, the people that have been arrested for this horrific crime of the rape of the teenager and the murder of her father and mother and her baby sister, 4-year-old sister, that case be taken out of the military courts and tried in an international court. What's the possibility of something like that happen? What would have to happen in order for that to happen?
Well, it's just not going to happen. I mean, wherever foreign troops are involved, then they have a status of forces agreement, which usually provide for, the courts of the country that sends the troops. This is how the U.S. operates in Britain and the rest of Europe under NATO agreements, for example, and how the British operate in Germany, where they have lots of troops under NATO. So the basic rule is that if you sign one of those agreements, the real thing is to make sure that this happens, that justice is seen to be done. And, when you look at some of the sentences, first of all, over the whole Abu Ghraib thing, it was the people way down the pecking order who were only obeying orders, and nobody's followed the chain up the line in the way that they should do.
Let me get to one quick question here. Eric, you have a quick question for our guest, Ian?
Yes. Now, based on the budget that the UN has, would you agree that it is simply a rubber stamp for the United States and its policies?
Okay. Ian?
It often comes out that way, but not as often as the U.S. would like. I mean, for example, despite huge pressure, the U.S. was never able to get the U.N. to agree to the invasion of Iraq. And I think one of the key points we forget is that at no point has the United Nations wavered from its resolve that the Israeli occupation of the territories is illegal. The same over East Timor and Western Sahara and other places. On the basic principles that the U.N. holds for, it's strong. The problem is in execution, because the U.S. can veto any attempts to do anything he doesn't like.
And that has to be the last word. Ian, where can people get a copy of your article and see other articles that you've written?
Well, the Washington Spectator next week is on the 15th. That's my big piece on the UN. And also I have a blog. It's Deadline Pundit at blogspot.com.
Deadline Pundit.
Blogspot.com.
Ian Williams, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been good talking to you.
Okay, take care now.
Bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake